Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, now on your iPhone and AM760.net.
Automaker on the brink.
Here's the auditors finally saying, look, if GM doesn't get the cash, it's going out of business.
Barbara Bush recovering from a heart operation.
This is life-saving surgery in many circumstances.
And California Supreme Court.
What do we want?
Ways Prop 8. Good morning. I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It's a troubling new assessment of whether an iconic American corporation will be able to survive. CBS News correspondent Steve Knight is standing by live with the story.
Nick, in General Motors' just released annual report, the company's own accounting firm raises what it calls substantial doubt that GM can keep operating. The company has received $13 billion in federal loans.
I think everybody knows this company, as well as Chrysler, are on the brink of disaster.
Auto analyst Ryan McElroy. GM says its future depends on being able to follow through on the viability plan that it submitted to the government last month.
And it may well be that this just means GM has taken a big step towards Chapter 11.
Steve Knight, CBS News.
We'll get the next snapshot on jobs in less than half an hour when the government releases weekly figures on unemployment claims. Cynthia Metzler, who heads a group that helps older workers, says a growing number of elderly Americans are being caught in the squeeze.
We see more people are older, more people are poor, more people are unemployed, more older people are becoming homeless or at risk of homelessness.
Jennifer Graz of CareerBuilder.com says they've mapped what jobs are available and where across the country. One example.
We do see more healthcare jobs in the South because you do have an aging population and they are migrating to warmer climates, and so that's a trend that continues.
And as CBS's Jim Taylor's found, with work tight, some people have been forced underground.
Sounds good. You
thank
like
you,
playing in the subway?
Oh, man, I love it.
Yeah. Nice acoustics, huh?
Oh, great acoustics.
Duke Curry is blowing his sacks on this New York subway platform because clubs aren't hiring like they used to, and when the clubs are hiring, they don't pay like the subway.
They don't pay you. You know, I take my band up there. They want us to play maybe. I got to fight to get $60 a man and dinner.
Yeah. And in the subway, you make more money than playing in the clubs.
Yeah, you ain't with the IRS.
Jim Taylor, CBS News, New York.
Well, the government is stepping up efforts to get help to homeowners in danger of losing their homes. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
Put off from last week in an effort to shore up Democratic votes, today's bill contains a key component in President Obama's effort to slow down foreclosures, allowing bankruptcy judges to modify mortgage loans, the same way they can now change other kinds of debt. Democrat Catherine Castor of Florida.
This act throws a lifeline to families who are fighting to stay in their homes during this economic crisis.
Banks vehemently oppose the measure, but since so many of them have now taken government bailout funds, their lobbying power on the issue has ebbed a bit. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Steve Kathan, homeowners on the brink.
We've made this house our home, and like so many other people out there, we might have to walk away.
Jessica Jenkins may lose her California home. She doesn't qualify for the new Obama Housing Rescue Plan, but it's thought about 4 million families will get a lifeline. Guy Sakala of Inside Mortgage Finance says the plan of incentives to stop foreclosures and modify loans is in effect now.
People had trouble contacting their mortgage servicer before. They're certainly going to have trouble now because everybody's going to read about this new initiative and this new plan and quickly pick up the phone.
Reporting live, Steve Kathan, CBS News. President Obama's gathering leaders from in and out of government at the White House today to discuss ways to overhaul the nation's health care system. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has details.
The White House views today's summit as the beginning of a long process. The administration is trying to build public support for reforms, including expanded coverage, by emphasizing benefits for the majority of Americans who have health insurance.
It's also going to help workers because health care costs are burdening take-home pay, driving it down.
Budget Director Peter Orszag says it's possible to reform the system this year, despite major economic pressures and the politics of health care reform. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
4 past the hour.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Might want to head outside and collect the lawn furniture. High winds again yesterday and overnight, and the wind coupled with more record-breaking high temperatures once again prompting the National Weather Service to issue a fire danger alert.
We have a red flag warning in effect from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., and basically it's going to cover the Front Range foothills, South Park, and then all of the northeastern plains.
Meteorologist Frank Cooper says Denver broke a record again yesterday with a temperature of 76 degrees. Fire concerns come with those warm temperatures, and the Army says a 6,300-acre wildfire at Fort Carson is still burning, although now 70% contained. A training exercise explosion may have sparked that fire. Fired Professor Ward Churchill to be joined by former weatherman activist Bill Ayers at a forum at CU Boulder tonight. The topic? Forbidden education and the rise of neo-McCarthyism. Churchill first made headlines for an essay he wrote comparing 9/11 victims to Nazis.
But as it stands, it was absolutely necessary, and it was absolutely empowering, even if they get beat, that they actually drew blood where it counted.
Student Sean Daly tells 9 News he's looking forward to hearing from Churchill.
He's been attacked because of his beliefs. He's been attacked because of his activities.
Churchill's wrongful termination suit against CU goes to trial next week. A judge has ordered former Quest CEO Joe Nocio to report to a federal prison in Pennsylvania on March 23rd to begin serving a 6-year term for insider trading. Sports, the Broncos add former New England Patriots running back Lamont Jordan to the roster, and the Avalanche lose to the Red Wings 3-2, 6 straight losses for Colorado. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale, and now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where speeds are going to be decent pretty much anywhere you're heading. No problems to report on I-25 downtown. Volume is building on 2 1/4 across Aurora as well as on southbound I-25 downtown. Now, there is a crash that they've cleaned up. This was at Tower and Pena. Could kind of throw a snag into your drive earlier this morning. Making your way into the airport. But for the time being, we're rolling along problem-free. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Finish that bachelor's degree you started years ago. Learn how working adults can complete their degrees at DU evenings or online. Attend an open house at DU on April 8th. UniversityCollege.DU.edu. That's UniversityCollege.DU.edu.
I think I'll listen to the radio.
It went away because, ladies and gentlemen...
But, sir, how are you listening to Jay? He's nowhere near here.
Oh, I listen online. I just go to...
That's AM760.net, sir.
Yeah, that's it.
Are you sure that's right?
Hey, guys, I know what the website address is. I'm the president, remember? I know everything.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Listen to AM760, Colorado's progressive talk on AM760.net.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay!
Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
It's not the Jay Marvin Show this morning. It's the David Sirota Show. Jay is still out sick. He will be out sick probably until next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll be in until at least next Tuesday. I have had, since yesterday's show, I've had one of those spans of 24 hours where it's like everything is going wrong. You ever have that where it's just every little teeny thing? You know, this morning I forgot my breakfast, right? So I'm outside the studio, in the newsroom, trying to stuff my face with Good and Plenty's and anything that's lying around. You know, before that, I had a computer crash, my cell phone died. It's, you know, my parents who were in town now, they used to read me this book when I was a little kid called The No Good, Very Bad, Awful Something Day. It was all about it's like a children's story. And I've just had one of those 24-hour periods where it's like every little thing that could go wrong has gone wrong. Now, I'm probably in a particularly dark mood because I just raced here to the studio after debating on Fox News Bill Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard, and my question that I posted on my Twitter page is Bill Kristol a big fool or the biggest fool? And this is the debate was about whether Americans trust Barack Obama and the Democrats on the economy. Of course, Fox News, you know, the premise actually wasn't a question. The premise was why do Americans not trust Obama and the Democrats on the economy. Now, of course, this is on the same day that a Wall Street Journal, New York Times poll came out showing that the country has incredible trust in Obama and the Democrats on economic issues. I think the Democrats lead the Republicans generically on the economy in terms of trusting which party to trust to get out of this recession by a 2-to-1 margin. A friend of mine reminded me, a friend of mine at openleft.com, who I blog with, he keeps track of what is more popular than Republicans right now. And communist China is now, according to polls, more popular in Americans' minds than the Republican Party. But of course, on Fox News, why does the public not trust Barack Obama and the Democrats? I mean, the playing field whenever you go on that network is so tilted in your disfavor. And what was interesting, and I'll post the YouTube later over at openleft.com, but what was interesting was that I brought up these facts, and Bill Kristol responded by saying, well, the market has gone down 15% since Barack Obama took office. Now, of course, Barack Obama took office, what is it now, 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago? And how much did the market go down under George Bush, and especially under George Bush's last, let's say, 6 or 7 weeks? A lot. And the public, again, to get back to reality, because I always say this when I host this show, we on this show, whether it's me or Jay, we deal in reality. We deal in numbers. We don't deal in emotions. And again, the numbers tell us that 84% of Americans believe that the situation, the stock situation, the economic situation that we're dealing with now, 84% believe Obama inherited that. Only 8% believe that the situation, that Barack Obama is most responsible for the current situation. But Fox News uses, and particularly Bill Kristol, because I really, really despise Bill Kristol, and I have for years. These people are in the business of trying to manufacture a conventional wisdom. They see the polls, again, it's a new poll, just out, you know, made a lot of headlines. They see the polls that show that the public really, really trusts the Democrats right now. I got my problems with some of what Obama's doing. I got my problems with some of his appointees, but I'm not going on TV saying that the public doesn't trust Obama and the Democrats, because that's factually not true. Fox News is trying to create the conventional wisdom by pushing this idea that people don't trust the Democrats. And when I brought up the polling numbers, when I brought up the data, Kristol's only response was, well, the market doesn't seem to trust him. And what I responded by saying was, well, Bill, I know this is hard for you to understand. You're a wealthy pundit who lives in Washington, D.C., and your circle probably skews extremely wealthy. And so it's easy for somebody like you to think that Wall Street speculators represent average Americans or are average Americans. So sure, the market has had a lot of gyrations, but Barack Obama is hired to govern for the majority of us. And he can't govern just to please Wall Street traders on a day-to-day basis. Now, that's not to say that I want the market to go down. I don't want the market to go down. You know, I've got my retirement funds. I've got my modest savings in parts of the market. Nobody wants the market to go down. But the question was, does the public trust Obama and the Democrats on the economy? And the rhetorical two-step that Kristol took and that Republicans take, they say, well, okay, polls show that the public trusts Obama and the Democrats, but the market is going up and down. So the market doesn't trust Obama. So that must mean that the American people don't trust Obama. Well, in case they haven't noticed, The one institution that the American public does not trust at all right now is Wall Street. I would submit to you that there's never been less solidarity between ordinary people, Main Street, and Wall Street. And so all the Republicans and conservatives have to say right now is to point at the stock market and say, well, this means that the public doesn't trust Obama. It's pathetic, but I'll tell you this. It's telling. It's telling. Republican Party leaders, conservative movement leaders, really do think, I mean, they are so divorced from contact with regular people. They really do believe that what Wall Street speculators want is what the American public wants. I mean, this was the whole thing. I mean, I'm sure everybody saw the rant by Rick Santelli, the CNBC reporter. The guy's standing on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He's surrounded by wealthy traders, people who make hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars speculating on paper. He's surrounded by these people screaming that while we should spend $1.5 trillion handing money over to the banks, it's somehow an outrage that we're going to spend $75 billion to try to help families and prevent them from being thrown out of their homes in foreclosure. This is really how isolated, how divorced from reality so many parts of the media and of the conservative political establishment really is. I go on Fox News, I cite hard data about how much the American public trusts Obama. I get thrown back to me, well, Wall Street traders don't trust him. As if that should be the single most important thing on the mind of a president. I mean, that's the assumption, right? The assumption is, when you hear this, all of this noise, the assumption is that a president should govern to please banks and traders, to please money. And I think what was really great about Obama's last presidential weekly address was that he said it very clearly. He said, I was hired to represent the public, not to represent corporate lobbyists, not to represent the banks. And if he's serious about that, we're going to start to see a lot of policies that challenge big money. And we're going to start to see the conservative movement, whether it's Bill Kristol, Fox News, Rick Santelli, think tanks in Washington, we're going to start to see them go more and more and more insane. Really, I really mean that. Insane, that's the only word to use for these people. They're going to start telling us that it's some sort of outrage to push for universal health care. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. They're going to start telling us that it's an outrage to try to prevent foreclosures. And I've got a couple problems with Barack Obama's new foreclosure plan that he announced yesterday, and we'll get into that soon. The conservative movement's going to start telling us that it's an outrage that we're going to invest in public priorities like rebuilding roads, rebuilding schools. They're going to start, I mean, they've already started calling everybody a socialist. I saw that they have this new award, Comrade of the Week. They think they're being so funny. I mean, last I checked, John McCain called Barack Obama a socialist over and over and over again, and John McCain got his clock cleaned in the 2008 election. So I say, you know, like John Kerry said, bring it on. I'm David Sirota here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, filling in for J. Marvin. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600 at 618. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic's looking pretty good for us so far this morning. Pretty quiet on the freeways around Denver. Our slowest spot is up in North Glen, traveling southbound on 25 from 104th down to 84th. Had an earlier crash at Tower and Pena removed, so traffic moving better through there. Down on the southeast end, we do have a crash rollover at Pinery and Ponderosa. Your forecast? Very windy, a little bit.
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle handle it all from start to finish. But don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at AAAHomeImprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
For a slice of New York in your backyard, find a deli zone near you at DeliZone.net.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. Let me give you some reasons why you should shop at Rocky's Autos. Number one, they're locally owned and operated, and they care about the community that they do business in. They're big supporters of AM 760 and have been big supporters of my show. And I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late-model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great. The selection is great, and you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you go buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. But the minute you drive it off the lot, hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Auto's open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 8 in the evening, and drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. That's Rocky's Auto's at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it.
Here at NBC, we had a big meeting.
Wow, this meeting's big.
In that meeting, we had a great idea.
We should have all new shows tonight.
Many people cheered, especially with the return of an all-new Office. But first, the night starts with all-new episodes of Earl and Kath and Kim, followed by an all-new Office and 30 Rock.
Isn't that a great idea?
And wrapping the night, it's an all-new ER.
Isn't that a great idea?
You already said that. It's an all-new night of television tonight on NBC.
Then watch 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10, it was strictly high stakes and definitely illegal. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars crossed the table. It was the kind of game where some lost everything. Their homes, their marriages, even their lives. The guy who ran it loved to throw his mob connections around. And the guys who sat around the table, high profile. Doctors, lawyers, ex-pro jocks, even media personalities. Deborah Sherman investigates. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Fairly nice day out here. I don't know what it's going up to, but it felt pretty warm out this morning at 4:30 in the morning as I drove over to my Fox News debate with Bill Kristol. Although it might have felt particularly warm because I was... I was getting a little bit steamed or psyching myself up to debate a person I really despise, Bill Kristol, as we discussed earlier. On the line now, we got Tom Hartman. We're going to have Tom in a few minutes, so that's my bad. Let's talk a little bit about the foreclosure program that the Obama administration announced yesterday. I alluded to it before the break. I'll read to you from the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Obama administration yesterday offered pages of nitty-gritty details for its promised $75 billion attack on the nation's foreclosure epidemic. The debut of the two-pronged Making Home Affordable program, focused on mortgage modification and refinancing, will likely be delayed for several weeks, though, as lenders prepare for the anticipated onslaught of borrowers looking for help. The program is designed to help up to 5 million borrowers refinance to lower rates by June 2010. It also provides incentive payments to lenders to encourage them to modify loans by 2012. Now, here's my problem with this. And when I say that, let me just preface this by saying it's my problem with it, but I think in general it's a good thing. The bill as a whole, the proposal as a whole. My problem is, We're still throwing money at the banks, right? If you notice, I want to read that again. The program provides incentive payments to lenders to encourage them to modify their loans, right? So we're still not treating these lenders, these banks, with any kind of force. We're still pretending that we have to essentially bribe them. As opposed to, for instance, as just an example, doing what some states have looked into doing, which is simply banning foreclosures for a certain period of time. Or doing what Congress is trying to do, which is allowing bankruptcy judges to force banks to renegotiate the terms of homeowners' loans. This is a really interesting issue. And I had a little bit of an issue, I'm not going to lie about it, I had a little bit of an issue with Ed Perlmutter over the last couple of days about this. Right now, you're not going to believe this. I mean, really, it's really hard to believe. Right now, let's say you're a wealthy person, you've got three houses. And let's say you got one house here in Denver, you got a house in, I don't know, Florida on the beach, and you've got a ski home. Now, you're in the top 1% or higher of the United States in terms of income. And, you know, most people don't have those things. If, for whatever reason, you declare bankruptcy, let's say you get hit by the market, you get hit by the market pretty hard, you declare bankruptcy, you can ask the judge, and the judge is statutorily empowered to force the bank that owns the mortgage on your second and third home to renegotiate or rewrite that mortgage on more favorable terms to you. In other words, bankruptcy court has the power right now to force banks to renegotiate the terms of loans on vacation homes, but not on primary residences. So for the average person who only owns one home, if we declare bankruptcy, the bankruptcy judge is actually not allowed to force the bank to renegotiate the terms of your loan. I want to repeat that. It's really amazing. Bankruptcy judges are allowed to renegotiate the terms of vacation homes for wealthy people, but they're not allowed to force banks to renegotiate the terms for your primary residence. It is absolutely outrageous. And so what Congress is trying to do, and if you Google the term cram down, that's what this is called. The bankruptcy judge forces the bank to cram down or crams down the bank's loan, the terms of the loan. That's what Congress is trying to do right now. They're trying to say, well, why don't we just empower bankruptcy courts, bankruptcy judges, with cram down power for primary residences? Because that would help stop or at least mitigate some of this foreclosure problem. People would declare bankruptcy, they'd go into bankruptcy court, and there would be the possibility of the bankruptcy judge going to the bank and saying, look, you've got to either lessen the loan, or you've got to fix the interest rate a little bit, or you got to make the term of the loan longer so that the monthly payment is lower. Right now, the bankruptcy judge can't do this. And here's where my conflict with Ed Perlmutter happened. I read in the paper that Ed Perlmutter was one of a handful of Democrats who has been trying to water down the legislation to empower judges to do this. There's a handful of Democrats who've taken a lot of money from the financial industry who are trying to water down this cram down legislation. And in the story that I read in Roll Call, Perlmutter was named as one of these people. And I didn't understand this. I mean, Colorado, I think it's what, the sixth or seventh highest foreclosure rate in the country. How could a legislator from Colorado be against this? Especially, I had an interchange with his staff, and they said, well, he's still thinking about it, and he doesn't know where he is on the issue yet. And I emailed them, and I said, well, okay, well, where is he on the issue of whether judges should be able to write down the terms of somebody's vacation home loan? I didn't get a response. Big shock. I mean, I really like Ed Perlmutter. You know, I wanted to see him be appointed senator. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't like the idea that a legislator from Colorado is even flirting with the idea of opposing or trying to water down what should be the most basic reform during a foreclosure crisis, which is to simply extend the authority of bankruptcy judges to help people, not just to people's vacation homes, not just to the wealthy, but to regular people. Now, the good news is that Barack Obama supports cram down legislation. He was sort of forced to support it because congressional Democrats, the majority of them, remember I said there's this little faction of them that are trying to water it down with the Republicans, but most Democrats support cram down legislation, and Obama was forced to come out and say, well, he supports it too. So if it gets to his desk, and it's going to be a tough fight to get to his desk, the cover of Business Week recently talked about how much the banking industry is going to put into trying to stop this legislation. If it gets to his desk, Obama has said he will sign it. So we're going to have to do a lot of work here in Colorado to force our senators and our congresspeople to vote for that cram-down legislation. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. We're going to talk to Tom Hartman after the break, but first let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic's starting to build for us in the usual spots, but still a fairly quiet morning going on for us right now. Our heaviest jams are on 270, traveling eastbound from York to Vasquez, and on 25, mostly on the southbound side there, heading into downtown, first to North Glen again, near the Coors Field area there after Park Avenue, but also seeing some late construction wrapping up there in Centennial, Arapahoe in Colorado. Also got to ramp closure eastbound I-70 at York Street beginning today. That will be closed for about a couple weeks. Your forecast, very windy and warm today. Highs in the upper 60s, lower 70s. Some of these gusts could reach 35 to 50 miles an hour. Right now, downtown checking in at 50 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Save thousands during the Pinnacle at City Park South Tower 1 closeout sale. One-bedroom home.
Did you know that the new Climate Smart program allows Boulder County residents to install solar power with no out-of-pocket cost? Learn how you can take advantage of the Climate Smart loan program at an exclusive Boulder County Community Solar event at the Louisville Rec Center on March 18th at 7 p.m. Meet the founder and owner of Independent Power Systems, Tony Boniface, as he shares his 15 years of solar experience and answers questions about solar energy and how you can eliminate your electric bill for life. Tony will present the details of the Climate Smart program and the IPS community discount on Wednesday, March 18th at the Louisville Rec Center at 7 p.m. IPS, the Coors Field solar experts, invite you to meet Tony Boniface and learn how to eliminate your electric bill for life. For more, go to solarips.com/climate and RSVP for this free seminar. The Climate Smart Loan Program for Boulder County residents. Brought to you by Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Flight Auto Glass.
This time of year, nights can be pretty cold, and that can cause big problems for any windshield. My last customer ignored a small chip on his windshield. He figured it was too small to be a problem. Then, we got some frost. He was scraping his windshield and found it had completely cracked. Water got into the chip, and when it froze, it expanded. That put pressure right where the chip had weakened the glass. And crack! Now he needs a whole new windshield. He thought it was great that Elite Safe Light came to his office to replace it. But he could have saved time and money if he would have called us sooner. When a chip's smaller than a dollar bill, Elite Safe Light can usually repair it without removing the windshield. We inject our state-of-the-art resin right into the chip. A repair only takes about a half hour and costs a whole lot less than a replacement. Plus, with most insurance plans, it's free. That's right, free.
Just one call to 303-287-5000 and Elite Safe Light takes care of everything with your insurer.
Elite Repair. Elite Replace.
Everybody has credit card debt. Everybody. How would you like to get rid of that debt in a day? Just go into your bedroom. Take a look in your dresser drawer. You've got unwanted gold jewelry you never wear. A single earring. Stuff you don't want. Cash it in right now with the high price of gold. You could have hundreds or thousands in cash and not even know it. Cash for Gold is absolutely the safest, easiest way to turn your unused and unwanted gold and jewelry into cash. Cash for Gold is a direct refiner of precious metals. They cut out the middleman. More cash for you. Call Cash for Gold for a free return pack. Play Place your items in the pack and send it back to them. They'll send you cash within 24 hours of package receipt, and your jewelry is 100% insured. Call 1-800-791-4485 or log on to cash4gold.com/radio to receive an extra 5% for your gold and jewelry. That's cash4gold.com/radio and receive 5% extra for your gold. Or call 1-800-791-4485. 1-800-791-4485.
Hey, back to business in a second. But I just read a statistic you won't believe. Get this. Over 50 million of us don't have adequate life insurance. Seriously. And most are between the ages of 30 and 55. So if you die, your spouse is left alone, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, borrowing money, draining their retirement, selling the family home. That happened to my mom, and it was tough. Look, if you have a family, you need life insurance. So right now, go get a free quote from eFinancial at 1-800-800-6636, because you will not believe how affordable life insurance is. Everyone's situation is different, but okay, I'll just tell you. I'm 40, in good health. They got me a $500,000 policy for $20 a month. $20 a month. You spend more than that on coffee, right? So seriously, take care of your family. Get your free life insurance quote now. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-800-800-6636. 1-800-800-6636. 1-800-800-6636.
.635, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. I've been having a no good, very bad, awful last 24 hours. Every little thing has gone wrong. Luckily, nothing big has gone wrong, but sometimes it's more maddening when the little things go wrong, right? You turn your phone on, it's not working. You turn your computer on, it's crashed. I was printing out something, directions last night. My printer ran out of ink. I forgot my breakfast this morning. I mean, come on. It's like the universe is conspiring against me. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to have a flat tire. That's my bet. I'm going to have a flat tire tomorrow when I walk out of this studio. All right, we're going to go to Tom Hartman here. Tom, as everybody who's listening knows, is the Air America host who is heard on this station. And he is out in Oregon, so it's quite early out there. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, David, I'm fine.
It's early out there.
Yeah, it's 25 to 6. It's not terrible.
You know, I told Jay, it must take a while to get used to any kind of morning radio. I mean, really, I'm not usually. In my house, we call 4 a.m. the unspeakable hour.
Yeah,
but I don't know. You've done this for years. I don't know how early your segment. You know, it's moved around a little bit. But how do people get used to that?
Yeah, you don't.
Right.
You know, there's a perhaps apocryphal story, and I don't even remember the names of the two people. I thought it was like Howard Stern and Charlie Gibson or something, but, you know, two famous, you know, one was a famous morning guy and the other was filling in, and they met in New York City, and one of them said, you know, how long does it take to get used to this? And I think it was Howard Stern said, you never do.
You never do, right? You don't have a I remember when I was in college, I spent a summer working nights, and it's sort of like working this early in the morning. You never see anybody. You don't see your friends. Everybody's. It's very, very, very weird.
Well, the biggest challenge is just, you know, you're fighting your body. I found you can buy these lights that come on instead of an alarm clock. The light comes on in the room.
That's right. It's like the show, and I'm obsessed with the show. It's like the show Lost, and I don't think I'm giving away anything, but there's a place in Lost that has no sunlight, but there's a light that sort of helps the person who is there. I'm really obsessed with that show.
And oh, really?
Yeah, I went
through two seasons and then said, well, damn it, I want to know what's going on. I'm sick and tired of waiting. And I quit watching.
I'm into season two right now. I'm watching from the beginning. You're right. And I'm one of these people who, like, my favorite kinds of TV that I watch, guilty confession here, is the shows about
whether they're going to find UFOs, the shows about the Mason, you know, all the History Channel
are fun,
shows.
But yeah. My favorite shows are Psych and Monk. I mean, I just like dumb fun, you know?
Yeah, right. So speaking of, here's no segue, but we were talking earlier about the foreclosure proposal that Obama's put forward, and I had said, and I wonder what you think about this, I had said before the break that my problem with this is that, and I'm reading a Philadelphia Inquirer story, it says, the program provides incentive payments to lenders to encourage them to modify their loans by December of 2012. Now,
$500, $1,500.
Now, it seems to me, why are we still throwing money at the banks as if we have to bribe them?
Because when you get to the level of individual behavior, you pretty much do have to. The reason why so many of these bad loans were written was, and I actually interviewed a couple mortgage brokers on this, was because they were being given anywhere from $1,000 to, in some cases, as much as $10,000 bonuses for taking somebody who qualified for a prime mortgage and getting them into a subprime mortgage that was more profitable to the lender. And, which should be a crime, frankly, in retrospect. It should have been in prospect. But my guess is that the way, that they don't think that any bank is going to be motivated by $1,000, but that they're hoping, or maybe that's even mandated in the law, that $1,000 is going to end up in the hands of the broker as a commission or as a bonus for making that thing happen. That's my guess.
Let me make my question more clear. Why is our government treating the banks like it has to buy them off, as opposed to simply mandating that they write down their loans? I mean, this is what right. I don't understand. Like, at what point does the government feel like it has enough public support and enough guts to simply tell the banks, "Look, here's what you're going to do, and you're going to do it this way, and that's the end of it"?
There's a certain point at which you can't interfere in contract law, and so. My guess is that and again, I'm not the expert on this stuff. There are people out there who are, but I think we're in territory where nobody's expertise is really solid.
Right.
But basically, you've got two choices. You can do what the British government did with Northern Rock, what Franklin Roosevelt did with the banks, what happened under, was it the first Bush administration or the Reagan administration,
right.
The S&Ls,
right.
What Bill Seaman did. And you can just go in and say, okay, you're mine now. You know, this is it. We own these things. You either buy the stock or you simply take the stock.
Right.
And the shareholders are left holding the bag. And then you go in and you fire all the management and you replace it with bank regulators who at least, know how it's supposed to work. And you put them back to profitability and then eventually sell them back into the market. When you do that, you can change all the rules from top to bottom. On the other hand, you've got, if you're not going to do that, and unfortunately this administration has chosen, or perhaps it's the right thing at this point, but I predict within 6 months they're going to have to because the bank failures are going to speed up so much. But up to this point, this administration has not chosen to nationalize banks, and so instead they're letting them continue to operate. Now, as long as they're continuing to operate as separate entities, they're operating under the rules and their contracts. They haven't gone through what's the equivalent of a bankruptcy. A bankruptcy voids contracts.
Right, that's right.
And then you can do anything you damn well please. But as long as those contracts are in force, and I'm thinking about the contracts between the banks
and the mortgage holders.
No, the banks and the people that they sold the secondary market.
Oh, right.
See, those...
The packaged mortgage-backed assets.
That's right. The people who are holding the CDOs and the mortgage-backed assets, they can come back against the bank and say, wait a minute, I bought an asset from you based on a certain asset value that you stated and predicted, and you have now arbitrarily changed that, even if you did it at a government mandate. Nonetheless, I've got a contract with you, and they can sue the banks.
That's right. My take is the reason that they're not nationalizing the banks right now is because they don't, and Geithner said it, they don't want to wipe out shareholders. He said,
they're protecting the investor class.
Exactly. I mean, and this idea that should be a priority is ridiculous. Investors, in my 401k, is at some level a bet. Right? Yep. An investment is a bet.
That's why I don't have a 401k.
Some of us are lucky. Yeah, right. Well, but the point is that an investment is a bet. If the company you bet on loses, you should lose. The idea that the government should make sure that you don't lose that should be its priority. Now, I agree.
That's called insurance, and that's Social Security. And that's the difference between insurance and betting. And that's why, you know, when 401ks actually first started out as IRAs, and then they became SEP IRAs and all Roth IRAs, and then 401ks. And, I watched this whole thing from the 70s. And when the Reagan administration first started rolling this crap out, I said, they are trying to move Americans away from pension plans, insurance plans, which is what Social Security is, into investment plans so that they can see how much better you're doing? We should just do away with Social Security.
That's right.
And now you've got all these people who've got 401ks and who thought that they were going to do just great, thank you very much, and they're discovering what would have happened if they'd privatized Social Security, because at least there's that safety net. But still, you know, I agree with you. The investors, if people bought stock in banks, they bought stock, and that was an investment. It is a bet, and notwithstanding all the preaching from Cramer and all these other bozos that no, it's a sure thing. This is how you plan for your future. Just diversify. That's the secret to the whole thing. Right. Notwithstanding all of that crap, the reality is that investing is a bet, and that the vast majority of people who are bettors are not working people in America, are not average working people in America. And if people bought bank stocks, you know, sorry. I'd rather have a healthy banking system than I would have, you know, the top 5% probably at most who own probably the majority of the banking stocks in the United States, be well off. Now, there are constituencies that they're worried about, and Lawrence Summers is in there advocating for probably the largest, which are university and state pension funds.
Right, that's right.
And so, you know, for the moment, they're trying to protect those investors. And there's a strong case to be made for that. And the other strong case is that it hasn't gotten so bad that they can justify nationalization yet. And it hasn't, frankly.
Well, let me ask this question. Because I was talking with somebody this weekend about this, which is that, let's just take the case of AIG. Mm-hmm. AIG, the New York Times had a really terrific story about AIG finally explaining in some kind of layman's terms what AIG is and why it's so important and why this writer was making the case why it has to be bailed out or propped up, essentially nationalized. And as I understand it, AIG basically purported to insure the rest of the banking industry, or a huge portion of the banking industry, against its potential losses in the risky investments it was making. Right. And it did this through credit default swaps, et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
We're all talking, the discussion over nationalization, if there is one, has been one about, well, let's temporarily nationalize the banks and then sell them off, like Sweden did. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that in the case of AIG, which was essentially insuring or purporting to insure the entire system, that might be a function that shouldn't just be temporarily nationalized, but actually, in some ways, permanently nationalized, because it's such a function, it's such a sort of foundational function.
That's a function that should be taken out in the back shed and shot in the head. The William Seidman, there's a great one-hour talk that he gave at a junior college in Grand Rapids that he was one of the co-founders of back 60 years ago. He's now in his 80s, and he's the guy who ran the Resolution Trust Corporation and put the SNLs back together. He is also the guy who invented collateralized debt obligations. He invented them. And he talks in that talk, and I've got the audio clips here. I don't have my computer booted up, so I can't play them for you right now, but I can email them to you if you want. But you can see it. It's six 10-minute YouTube pieces that you can find. Just Google William Seidman or you search it on YouTube. And he talks about how he invented these things. And then he went to whoever was the head of the SEC at that time. As I said, I think this is the tail end of the Reagan administration. It might have been early Bush 1. And says, we've got to have some regulation of these. We get to have somebody tracking these. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. So he goes to Greenspan and he says, we've got to have regulation. We've got to have somebody tracking this. And Greenspan says, no, we're not going to do this. This is our opportunity to prove that the free market works. Well, when he did those with the Resolution Trust, when he tranched those mortgage bundles,
right,
he was the first guy to do it. He invented the whole concept. He invented the words. When he did it, he did it in a fashion that was totally transparent himself. The RST did it in a totally transparent way, and they published their own books every year. When that went away, it went underground. AIG, and he tells the story of AIG. He says, here's a company that's got 60,000 employees all around the world. They had 400 guys. They moved the operation to London because it was illegal in the United States. And these 400 guys in London were taking these CDOs, these credit default swaps, and they were bundling them and tranching them. And then they were creating collateralized debt obligations. They were creating bets against the credit default swaps and bundling them and tranching them. And he said, and they took a couple of $100 billion worth of mortgages and turned them into a couple of $100 trillion
That's
worth
incredible.
Of bets on bets on bets and sold them into the secondary market out of London. And these 400 guys single-handedly now brought down the whole system. Now, let's keep in mind, the whole system came down not because of the housing market. The housing market is the symptom. The housing market wouldn't have inflated like crazy if we hadn't moved away from manufacturing and moved toward a monetary policy rather than an industrial policy in the United States.
That's right.
But that's a whole separate discussion.
Right, yeah. I mean,
those 400 guys were living large. They were all making several million dollars a year, and they're the ones. There's, you know the total amount of CDOs out there in the world? Ellen Brown documents this brilliantly over Web of Debt, but according to the Bank of International Settlements, it's published. It's somewhere between $700 trillion and $1,000 trillion worth of crap that these guys sold into the market. The GDP of the U.S. is only $15 trillion. The GDP of the entire planet is only $65 trillion.
And the fact that it's underground is just. And I read this New York Times story, and it's basically what it says is that it allowed the banks to essentially offload their risk on the books, in their books, offload the risk to AIG, which never thought they would the risk would be called in,
That's right.
To let them leverage even more. It's
and
an
then AIG
amped
cards. That risk.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Tom, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, good talking with you, dude.
Yeah, it's good talking to you too, man.
It's great to hear you on the radio.
Thanks, man. That's Tom Hartman, the host you hear on this network. On this station, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic is looking pretty normal for us as we're kicking off this Tuesday morning, right in the middle of our drive now. Our heaviest spots are the normal spots, southbound I-25. I-70 past Spear Boulevard, also a struggle north of us in North Bend, traveling down from 104th to 84th. Just one crash out there to avoid an accident on the ramp from northbound Sheridan to eastbound 6th Avenue. That's there on the Denver-Lakewood border. Also, 225, starting to see some increased traffic there, southbound side from Parker Road down to the Tech Center. But pretty nice drive going on this morning so far. Your forecast, very windy, a little bit cooler, sunny skies and a high of 70. Right now, 51 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Visit the Free Diabetes Expo Saturday, March 7th at the Colorado Convention Center. Free health screenings and much more. Sponsored.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor. Brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the banquet.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a credit report is like an appetizer. Just the first part of something good. But if you didn't order it from Identity Guard, you may discover that there's no more food showing up. You see, with Identity Guard, you get an entire banquet of 21st century tools and technologies. All this from the company that's already protected over 20 million people. And that's a lot of money not going into the hands of worldwide identity thieves. So, get Identity Guard today and settle in for a feast of identity theft protection.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
We discovered the Sunsetter Retractable Awning.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
Our Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds and keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
The discount, Harry.
And our Sunsetter costs less than $700.
Harry.
All right, but now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate. Your Sunsetter could cost as little as $499.
Good, Harry.
Call now and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate along with a free DVD.
Attention! All listeners whose last names begin with the letters A through N can start calling now for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. 1-800-400-3816. Listeners whose last names begin with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow at 9 a.m.
1-800-400-3816. 1-800-400-3816.
Thinking about a home equity loan? With up to four competitive offers and rates that beat the national average, LendingTree is the perfect place to start. Call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com for licensing. When banks compete, you win.
$4.99? Forget about it. But that's right. We got the best New York-style subs in Colorado. For only $4.99, you can get a New York-style sub at Deli Zone. Hey, I'm walking in. To find a location near you, visit DeliZone.net.
David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones real quick before the top of the hour in the news. We'll go to Marcella in Denver. Marcella.
Hi. I hope this is going to be too short. I heard you yesterday, and so I got to try to get my ducks in a row about this.
Okay.
I've been studying this whole thing ever since the first SNLs, and I read three books on it. And because I knew it was some sort of a global crime kind of a thing, and I thought, God, this has got to be really deep. So the book I bought, though, was called Inside Job, and it's written by three investigative reporters. If you can get it, that's where I learned about Glass-Steagall. And I'm the only one I have to know that I've been talking about Glass-Steagall all over the place ever since November when I started hearing about this one coming.
And let's remind people listening, Glass-Steagall was the law that was passed during the Great Depression era.
Yes.
Which essentially...
Because of the same things that's happening now.
Exactly. And the law essentially tried to keep some division between investment banks and other banks. Firewalls to prevent, you know, this term, too big to fail.
Yes.
Was designed to prevent banks from becoming too large so that if any one individual bank failed, it wouldn't tear down the entire economy.
Right. The other book that I got was one by a guy named Pete Bruton, and it's called The Mafia, the CIA, and George Bush, and it's around the same things, except that it's a lot more detail. He's these guys... Pizzo and Fricker and Muolo, M-U-O-L-O, wrote Inside Job.
That's right. I think I was on Lou Dobbs' show with the last guy you mentioned, and he was talking Muolo.
Okay.
And he really was making a lot of points. This might have been must have been a year ago. I mean, he really was a kind of a visionary on this. And I've said this before. My major overarching problem with the Obama administration from the get-go has been that he has put into positions of power people who were part of the problem, not people who were predicting the problem.
Right.
People like Larry Summers, people like Tim Geithner. He has not put in people like Nouriel Roubini and other economists who were saying, hey, wait a minute, and this is years ago, that he's not putting in people who had the foresight to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here is going to send us over the cliff.
Well, I told my kids and everyone I knew to be sure and pay off their houses as quickly as they could when all that happened. And then when Enron happened, I looked into that and I read a lot about that, and I saw that that was the same things, criminal things that had happened before, happened at Enron. So I said, we're still not to the bottom of this pile. So I warned them. I said, this is going to happen again because they're knocking down all the walls in Glass-Steagall. And I warned him, but almost nobody believes me.
And I think the sad thing, you know, Tom Hartman made this point before the break.
I've been listening to him, too.
The sad part about this is that we've become a country, or at least part of our economy has become one where we manufacture complex derivatives and complex speculative paper, and we don't manufacture actual goods. And that has, unfortunately...
And that's what I've also told people. Oh, it'll come out. And I said, not until we start manufacturing shoes and pants and all kinds of other things.
Exactly.
That people buy and we can ship overseas. I was against NAFTA first time I heard about it.
And me too. Marcella, I gotta cut you off there. I apologize, but we gotta hit the top of the hour for the news. I apologize. I didn't mean to be rude, but I'm still getting used to this timing stuff. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call after the top of the hour, 303-713-7600. We're actually going to be talking about some drug policy, so stay tuned.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Here's ex-pro jocks, even media personalities. Deborah Sherman investigates tonight on Niners at 9 and 10.
These numbers that we're seeing,
AM 760,
are sending an unmistakable message.
Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. More people are out of a job. Figures from the Labor Department within the past half hour show that 639,000 workers filed new unemployment claims last week. That was down from the week before, but economist Nariman Berevish sees no reason to celebrate.
The weekly numbers are extremely volatile. These are the worst set of numbers since the fall of 1982.
The big retail chains are reporting February sales figures that aren't terrible, but aren't very good either. Industry consultant Bert Flickinger says most people are buying the bare necessities and nothing more.
Clothing, jewelry, consumer electronics, furniture, anything that's non-essential, people won't buy because they don't need an extra pair of jeans. But they need to buy poultry and peanut butter and jelly.
Will General Motors be a going concern or a gone concern? In its annual report released a short time ago, the erstwhile King of the Road says auditors have raised serious questions about its ability to survive. Industry analyst John McElroy.
I think everybody knows this company, as well as Chrysler, are on the brink of disaster.
GM says its survival depends on downsizing and wringing more concessions from bondholders and the UAW. Just ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are down 15.5 points. As of today, it's legal for a doctor in Washington State to help a terminal patient commit suicide. CBS's Stephen Kaufman has that.
From Hospice of Spokane.
We're going to continue to care for them. We just won't be present when they administer the dose.
To the Washington State Hospital Association.
How will they shift from a place that does want to cure people to a place that could help someone in their life?
Washington healthcare facilities are wrestling with the state's new Death with Dignity law. Patients who meet certain requirements can self-administer lethal medication. But for opponent Eileen Geller with True Compassion Advocates.
It's a sad day for Washington, a sad day for our country.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
Heart surgeons who removed Barbara Bush's bad aortic valve and replaced it with a new one say the 83-year-old former First Lady should make a full recovery. CBS's Dr. John LaPook says the risk of complications are relatively low.
People do very well. The big risk is stroke, and it's only a couple of percentage point risk of that, and also pump failure.
Robin Williams is expected to spend some time in a Miami hospital. The Miami Herald says the 57-year-old actor is being treated for heart issues. A White House summit today will try to build support for the president's plan to expand health coverage. John Rother is with AARP, the Senior Citizens Lobby.
It's a very complicated, very expensive, very emotional issue. So it's never going to be easy.
Supporters of same-sex marriage were beating the drums in San Francisco last night at a rally on the eve of a California Supreme Court hearing on Proposition 8. That's the voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage.
That was really important to be here, to stand up for the rights of everybody.
Those on the other side say the court should not set aside what the people did at the ballot box. This is CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. A federal judge has ordered former Quest CEO Joe Nocio to begin serving his sentence for insider trading on March 23rd. So what can he expect when he reports to prison? Nocio's headed to a prison camp in Pennsylvania ranked number 7 on AskMen.com's top 10 list of luxury prisons. The minimum security facility features a game room and craft center, and prisoners can join an outdoor sports team. Nocio will serve 6 years. His attorneys say they'll likely appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. They're wary of high winds that would fan wildfires, and the Rocky Mountain Area Coordination Center, therefore, is bringing in the big equipment.
Heavy air tanker, as well as a Sikorsky 64 sky crane helicopter.
Steve Sagan says the tanker and helicopter will be staged at Jeffco Airport, so they'll be able to respond to both the foothills and eastern plains. The Army says a 6,300-acre wildfire at Fort Carson is now 70% contained. College campuses have added a service of the times to go along with libraries and computer lounges. Food banks are becoming common on campuses as students struggle with bills and day-to-day needs.
To give them the basic necessities so that they can do very well as college students.
Metro State Assistant Dean Joanna Mays. Metro opened its food bank in September. Community College of Denver recently had to double its food bank funding to keep up with demand. And with the start of work to rehab Broadway in Boulder this week, a piece of the city's past has resurfaced. Drivers are seeing old sections of trolley tracks dating back to the early 1900s. Boulder had an electric trolley system until 1931, when it was shut down in favor of buses. Sports: Broncos add former New England Patriots running back Lamont Jordan to the roster, and the Avalanche lose to the Detroit Red Wings 3-2. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker has your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
The Denver Drive getting busy. Slowdowns on I-25 downtown, westbound 76 on that approach to 74th up to I-25. There is a crash on I-25. This one's near Thornton Parkway. Really hanging things up. Backups on that approach to 120th, and they are growing. Eastbound I-70, sluggish past the Coliseum. Speeds are going to dip into the 30s and 40s. Pick up a little bit by Colorado, but there is some sun glare, so that could really start to bog down as well. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Want to save more on groceries without giving up quality? Just shop at King Soopers and look for brands like Kroger, Private Selection, and others. The quality is excellent, and you'll love the low prices. Get more value for the way you live every day at King Soopers.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size, a market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured, and better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
This is the David Sirota Show. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin, who is out sick. I'll be in until Tuesday of next week here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Give us a call. We've spent the first hour talking about the financial meltdown, but I've invited my buddy Mason DeVert on to talk about an issue that we were talking about yesterday, which was and is Attorney General Eric Holder's announcement that the Obama administration's policy will be to end Drug Enforcement Administration raids on medical marijuana patients and providers in states like California that have laws allowing people with a recommendation from a doctor to use marijuana medicinally. Now, Mason is the director at Safer Alternatives for Enjoyable Recreation. Prior to starting Safer, Mason worked on and coordinated grassroots campaigns in his home state of Arizona, advocating for federal medical marijuana reform and educating the public about opposition from members of Arizona's congressional delegation. Mason now lives here in Denver. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good, David. How are you?
I'm good. So yesterday we were talking about this announcement from the Obama administration. What does this mean for – does this mean anything for Colorado other than at a macro level a potentially more tolerant federal drug policy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a signal that we're moving in the direction of evidence-based, you know, more scientific drug policy. I mean, states are being given the option of following these their voters and allowing people to use marijuana for medical purposes with the recommendation from their doctor, and it signals a big shift in the direction of thinking at the federal level on this, and it will certainly lead to a much different environment in states like Colorado and California and your former home state of Montana, places that have medical marijuana laws. It's certainly going to make it a lot more comfortable for people to become patients, to become care providers, and in some cases for doctors to provide recommendations to patients. So we should see a pretty dramatic shift.
We have talked, you and I have talked about how the Denver municipal government hasn't necessarily been all that willing to listen to its own voters when voters here have passed referenda, I guess most recently telling the police to make enforcement of marijuana laws its lowest priorities. Has that changed, or is that getting worse, or is it the same?
It's actually getting better, and you know, it's quite interesting, and certainly it's following a pattern that you are probably quite familiar with, you know, having read some of your books. You know, as you know, the government tends to be a little bit behind the people on many issues, and there's been so much movement at the grassroots level and amongst the citizenry here in Denver that the government is slowly but surely following along. And what we've seen is, you know, they started out very stubborn, not wanting to change, not making any dramatic changes. And don't get me wrong, they still haven't made a huge change, but we've seen a complete 180 in the trend of marijuana enforcement in the city. I mean, up until 2008, we'd been seeing an upward trend, arrests increasing every year. And we just recently found out a couple months ago, or last month, that enforcement is actually down for the first time in years, and so there's something different going on. Now, what that is yet to be determined, but something's different.
A friend of mine, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago about the ridiculous pretend outrage about Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps being caught in a picture smoking probably marijuana out of a bong, and a friend of mine said to me, well, you know, and I said, you know, in the column I said our drug policy is absurd. Why do we outlaw marijuana, but alcohol is almost everywhere? And he said, well, you know, there's certainly a point there, but if you legalize marijuana. And this is what he was saying. He thought that inevitably more people will use it. And so he said, you have to, you know, so all the arguments about the hypocrisy aside, isn't it true that policymakers are just, you know, even though it would make congruent sense to legalize marijuana because it's a much less dangerous drug than something like alcohol, in terms of health effects, in terms of societal effects, wouldn't use go up? And if that's the case, isn't it a good thing? We as a society shouldn't want more drug use. So isn't that sort of a pragmatic reason to keep marijuana as illegal as possible. What do you say to that?
That's actually a question that I get quite frequently. A lot of opponents to reform often bring up the notion that, you know, alcohol causes a lot of serious problems. So why on earth would we want to allow people to use marijuana as well? And my answer to that would be that we're not adding a vice, so to say. We're providing an alternative. And yes, there's a good chance that marijuana use could go up if it, you know, over a long period of time, assuming it becomes a more normal thing in our society. I mean, currently, there's no real evidence that shows that use goes up as a result of liberalized marijuana laws. It just hasn't happened. But we obviously still live in a society that treats marijuana as a kind of hush-hush underground thing, and it's still technically illegal for everyone. But you know, we're not trying to add another vice here. We're talking about adding an alternative. And if more people used marijuana as opposed to, as you mentioned, alcohol, we would probably see a society that had fewer alcohol-related incidents. And there are no real serious problems associated with marijuana use. It's just that, you know, there's no cancer link. No one's ever acquired cancer solely as a result of marijuana use. There's no other serious long-term health effects. It certainly has some short-term effects on respiratory systems and such, but, you know, obviously no more of an effect than smoking tobacco. In fact, far less of an effect. And then obviously we would see a reduction in a lot of the social problems associated with the use of drugs like alcohol, you know, domestic violence, sexual assault, property, you know, vandalism.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing that I've never understood. I mean, I really don't understand this. It's completely and perfectly acceptable in our society to essentially admit or publicly say that you enjoy having a drink after work. You know, you enjoy getting a little buzz on after work. That's completely and totally acceptable. People, yeah, happy hour, right? That's what happy hour is. It's explicit. And so what I've never understood is, how is it socially acceptable, culturally, socially in our country acceptable to have happy? I mean, you have happy hour organized at your work. That's totally acceptable. That's like part of America. But if it was happy hour, let's all go smoke a joint instead of let's all go have a bunch of beer, that's completely culturally and socially not acceptable. How did that hypocrisy, that difference, how did that ever happen? It's just bizarre.
You bring up a great point. And you know, another really interesting thing to point out is that there hasn't been someone elected to office in the entire country who didn't rely on some sort of event, be it a fundraiser, be it a mixer, or whatever.
I didn't even think about
alcohol.
That. I didn't even think about that, right? Political fundraisers are, you know,
based on alcohol. They're
based on alcohol.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely bizarre. I really do not understand it. I the only thing I can come up with is that for marijuana has been branded.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I don't understand it. I get that it's been branded that way, but how? Why? What happened to create the brand that alcohol totally acceptable? That's what America is. Mm-hmm. Marijuana totally unacceptable. Where does that come from?
Well, it comes from, in many ways, from the politics of the late 60s, early 70s. We've basically, you know, as you know, grown up in a society in which alcohol has always, for the most part, since Prohibition, been very much tolerated and accepted as part of our society. And more since the end of Prohibition, it's become ingrained in our society where, you know, we went from having alcohol being illegal and a Prohibition system to having Coors Field and Busch Stadium
right.
and Busch Gardens where you take your kids to play with, you know, it's crazy. And you know, I certainly don't have any problem with alcohol. I think it's part of our culture and part of our society and should be legal to use responsibly by adults. But, in the 70s, you know, there was really a huge movement to link marijuana use with the counterculture. As more and more people were opposing the Vietnam War, as more and more people were fighting with, at that time, President Nixon, they decided that they would really work to push against marijuana, because fighting marijuana meant fighting the hippies, meant fighting the young people, fighting the...
So you're saying it became a proxy. It became a symbol of something
else. I mean, and there's really, a fascinating tie between marijuana use and political thought. And, you know, this is, doesn't get discussed a lot because a lot of times it's viewed as kind of a out there notion, but it's actually scientifically grounded. And I think I've discussed this with you in the past. There is actually a biological element to being a progressive, open-minded person. It is a, you know, part of how we're wired as people. There's chemicals in our brains that determine how we view the world, whether we're open to change or whether we want to preserve the past. And what happens is marijuana tends to lend to that open-minded, progressive, liberal thought. And obviously, there are a lot of people who don't like that. So it's really quite fascinating that there's really an effort to, you know, a conservative effort to prevent people from thinking in a certain way.
That really is. There really is, and I'm sure there's a whole politics of the alcohol industry and other industries around preserving the status quo. In my column, I got a chance to look at a lot of the polling data. What's really incredible is this is an issue where really the public is so far, so much more progressive than the laws. It's one, and I've looked at a lot of issues, you know, healthcare, people, the public's ahead of the government, but on drug policy, it's incredible. Mason, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, David.
All right. That was Mason Tvert of the Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation. He's done a lot of activism in Colorado and around the country on trying to reform our absurd and ridiculous drug laws. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. We're going to do some open phones after we get the traffic from John Turk.
Thanks, David. We do have a major crash hampering things around downtown. Actually, it's up in Thornton, southbound I-25. It's blocking the left-hand lane. Now these delays going all the way back to 136, so the drive downtown is going to take you a long time. Also stop and go once you get around 48th past Spear. Our other heavier loads right now, westbound 76th from 74th Avenue onto 25. Also a struggle on eastbound 270 there from York to I-70. And on southbound 225, usually pretty bunched this time of the morning from Parker Road down to the Tech Center. They have just cleared that accident northbound Sheridan onto the ramp to 6th Avenue, so that's a little easier for you at this time. Your forecast, sunny, warm, and windy. Highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Some of these gusts could reach 35 to 50 miles an hour this afternoon. Right now, downtown checking in at 51 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Through the Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program, Kohl's plans to recognize over 2,000 kids with scholarships and prizes. Nominate someone you know at kohlskids.com. The last day for nominations is March 15th, so go to kohlskids.com today.
Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10, it was strictly high stakes and definitely illegal. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars crossed the table. It was the kind of game where some lost everything, their homes, their marriages, even their lives. The guy who ran it loved to throw his mob connections around. And the guys who sat around the table, high profile, doctors, lawyers, ex-pro jocks, even media personalities. Deborah Sherman investigates, tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. Let me give you some reasons why you should shop at Rocky's Autos. Number one, they're locally owned and operated, and they care about the community that they do business in. They're big supporters of AM 760 and have been big supporters of my show. And I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late-model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great, the selection is great, and you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you can buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. The minute you drive it off the lot Hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Auto's open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 8 in the evening. And drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. That's Rocky's Auto's at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10 till 2. 10 till 2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced, college-educated, part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 till 2. The time is now.
Thinking about a home equity loan? With up to 4 competitive offers and rates that beat the national average, LendingTree is the perfect place to start. Call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com for licensing. When banks compete, you win.
Folks out there who get up in the morning, get their coffee, go to work,
get the kids off to school,
pay their bills, work hard,
they don't understand most of this Wall Street talk.
Ed Schultz.
I don't. I admit it. Just because I sit in front of a microphone doesn't mean that I know everything. I think there's a good number of Americans out there that are somewhat bamboozled by all of this. So I have to trust, and you have to trust, those who we elect that they're going to do the right thing.
The Ed Schultz Show, mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is Ray Charles. I gotta tell you something. Since I wrote that column, I really started really cogitating on this drug issue. I mean, it is so infuriating that our government is effectively saying that if you wanna recreationally imbibe, you should imbibe a substance, alcohol, that's far more dangerous to your health than other alternatives out there. It's just unbelievable. And what's even more unbelievable, and I'm the son of a physician, what's even more unbelievable is that physicians are allowed to prescribe things like morphine and codeine, but they can't prescribe marijuana to cancer patients. And it's really, really infuriating. This is our quote-unquote conservative government in our quote-unquote limited government country. That sounds to me like the government's right up in our grill. It's not comfortable. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're going to go to the phones. Let's go to Doug in Westminster.
Don't bogart that joint, friend. Wasn't that a great song, too, huh?
Yeah.
New Riders.
Yeah.
You know, I equal this to a little skit off of Sam Kinison's album. When he starts talking about how, oh, I think I'm going to go get blasted tonight and run into a family of six, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, and then he starts talking about the marijuana part of it, and it's as funny as a comedian. I mean, that's what, to me, what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, I think what's cool is that Obama's been fairly conservative. I don't mean ideologically. I mean, sort of, in some ways, slow-moving, we want him to be methodical, but cautious. That's the right word, cautious. Yeah. But on drug policy, I actually think we've got a chance for some real radical change here. And I say that because, you know, again, we have the Attorney General coming out and saying that they're going to not have these DEA raids on states, which is great. We've got a new drug czar, the former police chief from Seattle, who, as law enforcement officials go, has been one of the most tolerant law enforcement officials in the country on the issue of drug laws. And we haven't even talked about the criminal justice implications of this. Is that we lock people up for possession of marijuana, which is really, really absurd. Instead of putting people into rehab. I mean, I was just down in Mexico, and I didn't make this point to Mason. I was just down in Mexico City, and I was reading the papers down there, and they've got a huge problem with the drug cartels. The drug cartels are really almost taking over the country.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, and this columnist made the point in the paper that said, you know, Americans like to rail on the drug cartels in South America, but are unwilling to, and I'll try to dig up the quote because she put it really well, but she said unwilling to face the fact that the demand for the drugs is coming from, and the demand for illegal drugs is coming from, you know, and she said, you know, Wall Streeters who do who are doing cocaine and college kids who are experimenting with marijuana. And the point she was trying to make, I think, is that because the drug, there's two problems here. Because, first of all, because the drug industry in this country, and it is an industry even though it's illegal, there is a drug industry, an illegal drug industry. Because it's illegal, it's on the black market, and we get things like violent drug cartels that are that industry. So there's that part of it, but then there's also the demand side.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we have a huge demand for this. It's not, I'm being a little incoherent here, but but it's the demand side, a huge amount of demand being fired into a black market product because it's not dealt with in this country in a way that's mature, in a way that's open, and in a way that has a legal architecture. And so we get things like cartels, we get things like drug-related gang violence. It's really so drug policy is not just about whether it should be legal if you want to smoke a joint instead of drink alcohol that's worse for your body. It's got all sorts of other implications on our society, and not just on our society, but on our on societies in other countries like Mexico and South America.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does very much. You know, I'm from Ohio, so their laws, even in the 70s, was, well, the technical amount was 3.2 ounces, and it was a $50 fine.
Right.
I moved out to Nevada. A guy got caught with 2 ounces in his car. This was well before I showed up. The guy was serving a life sentence.
I mean, and there's another example, right? How much money does it cost to incarcerate that person? What have you done to that person's family?
Yep.
What have you done to their community by incarcerating that person for life? So drug policy, folks, it's like campaign finance reform, right? Campaign finance reform affects everything. It affects all sorts of different things in Congress, what gets passed, what doesn't get passed. Drug policy is the same thing. It's not just about whether it's right or wrong and whether you can smoke a joint or not. It's got all sorts of implications. And when it's messed up like it is in this country right now, it messes up our criminal justice system, our international relations, our border security, all sorts of things. Doug, thanks for the call, man.
Have a good one, buddy.
Okay. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go to Gary in Grand Lake. Gary.
Hello, this is David Peel from the Lower East Side.
Who's that?
I like marijuana, you like marijuana, we like marijuana too.
I don't know the reference.
Really? You never heard Smoking Marijuana, the album?
No.
Peel on the Lower East Side?
No, I don't know it. I might be showing my age or my nerdiness. It's
okay.
Possible.
Well, I finally dug out my book. It was underneath all my Playboy magazines, and it's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes by Jack Heer, H-E-R-E-R, the number one best-selling hemp book of all time. And it is thoroughly immersed in all the facts about marijuana, and it goes back to even in the 1600s, it was illegal. The first laws on marijuana were to grow it. If you did not grow enough of it, you were fined because it was used so prevalently for rope and other means of medication also, that the government required farmers to grow a certain amount of marijuana. And what happened was when the chemical companies like Dow and I can't think of the other family out of Connecticut, but anyway, they realized they had synthetic materials that could replace marijuana, but they had to have an evil reason to outlaw it. And the evil reason was, and this is not racist, the evil reason was the poor black people and musicians at the turn of the century were using marijuana, and they tied it into crime. And once they could get the people to realize it was, if you smoke it, you're going to turn into this evil criminal person. We can outlaw it. We get it outlawed, then they have to buy our synthetic products in lieu of marijuana.
Well, it's definitely been made into a cultural symbol. That's for sure. And there has definitely been a concerted effort to make marijuana into a cultural taboo. And there's a lot of different motives for that, right? Mason Tvert, our guest earlier, mentioned the fact that it was made into a cultural symbol in the 60s, in order for conservative Republicans to have an easy to describe thing to attack liberals and the quote unquote counterculture. It's also probably been made into a cultural symbol, or I'm sure the beer companies and the alcohol companies don't mind it being made into a cultural taboo either. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're going to be going back to open phones after we hear from John Turk for the traffic.
Thank you, David. Never a good thing when a crash is blocking the left-hand lane, and that's what we got up in Thornton, southbound I-25 at Thornton Parkway. Single-digit speeds all the way back at 136th Avenue. It's going to break loose for you there at Thornton Parkway. Also going to be really heavy from 70 down past 20th. Northbound also starting to fill up there in the bridges area. Going to break loose around 6th Avenue. Our other heavy loads right now, westbound Turnpike, Sheridan to Church Ranch, but pretty accident-free on the rest of the major highways. But do check that one, southbound I-25 at Thornton Parkway. That's going to add about 20 to 30 minutes to your trip. Your forecast, very windy, a little bit cooler. Sunny skies, a high of 70. Right now, 53 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Live a better life with diabetes. Visit the free Diabetes Expo March 7th at the Colorado Convention Center.
You know that car project you've been putting off all winter because it's too cold, the family's in town, and you're working too hard? You know, replacing your brakes? Well, here's one excuse that you don't have anymore. They cost too much. Not at Advance Auto Parts. They got Wagner Thermal Quiet brake pads and shoes for up to $30 off with a mail-in rebate. That's $30 off! Now get to it and go cross it off. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning. See store for details.
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center is working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Us had what we wanted for less.
Way less. The secret is out. Designer Surplus sells solid wood, high-quality kitchen packages for under $1,000. And solid wood bathroom vanities with marble tops for under $300. Call now for your free full-color catalog. 1-800-994-1189.
Designer Surplus had everything we wanted.
Real hardwood cabinets, beautifully made.
High quality for less.
Choose from oak, cherry, and more in traditional and contemporary designs. All at a nearby store or ship directly to you.
When you pull out a drawer, they feel expensive.
All the quality without the expense.
It's the secret to getting a dream kitchen.
The secret is out. Designer Surplus sells high-quality hardwood kitchen cabinets and bathroom vanities for less, way less. Visit a store near you or call now for your free catalog. 1-800-994-1189. That's 1-800-994-1189.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looks so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her, and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try a free 30-day trial of hydroxytone and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-655-3333. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-655-3333. 1-800-655-3333.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Did you know that term life insurance rates have fallen over 60% in the last 10 years? I'm Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. At AccuQuote.com, we monitor the rates, features, and financial strength of hundreds of life insurance products. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can protect his family with $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $19 a month. Female rates are even lower. And don't forget to ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. Since 1986, we've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Why not find out how much you can save? Write down this number and call today for your free quote. Call 800-500-3353. One 5-minute call is all it takes. 800-500-3353. That's 800-500-3353.
I smoke 2 joints in the morning. I smoke 2 joints at night. I smoke 2 joints in the afternoon.
Who's this? Is this Marley?
Feel all right.
Not, it's The Toys is the name of the band. It's the original Sublime. You know, nice. I smoke 2 joints.
Before we get back to the phones, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Before we get back to the phones, you know who's smoking a lot of reefer, clearly, are the folks at the Federal Reserve. I mean, these people, I just got to break away from our discussion about drug laws for a second. I just got to read, this just came off the wire from Bloomberg. The Federal Reserve Board of Governors receives daily reports on loans to banks and securities firms. The institution said in response to a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by Bloomberg News. The Fed, however, refused yesterday to disclose the names of the borrowers and the loans, alleging that it would cast a stigma on recipients of more than $1.9 trillion of emergency credit from U.S. taxpayers. These people at the Federal Reserve, really, the fact that they are stonewalling the most basic efforts to just tell us how you are spending our money. We're all about to hit April 15th, where we pay taxes. And we have a branch of our government spending $1.9 trillion of those taxpayer dollars and not even giving us the courtesy of telling us who it's giving that money away to. That's just, there are no words for it. There really aren't. And there is a Senate bill, Senate Bill 513. Look it up on thomas.loc.gov, the congressional website. Again, it's Senate Bill 513, which would force the Federal Reserve Bank to tell us how it's spending our money. Obama promised the most transparent administration in history. We need that bill to pass. And $1.9 trillion is not a small amount of money. Okay, back to the phones. Let's go to Greg in Denver. Greg.
Yeah, howdy.
Hey there.
Good. Hey, two things. One, legalize and regulate. You know, got to be the bottom line for putting it all together, giving us a chance to, you know, be the kind of country that we should be, giving people the opportunity to do what they choose to do without having to throw them in jail for being a businessman. But I'll tell you, the second one was just making this phone call, you know, reminded me of the paranoia that comes along with it. I gave my wrong name, I gave my wrong address, just because I wasn't sure. And what kind of a country is that when I can't even feel comfortable with being able to talk about this issue?
Your feeling is not inexplicable. A lot of people feel that way. When I wrote my column, it was funny, when I wrote my column about this issue a couple weeks ago, I made the point that if I had said in the column, and this is what I wrote, I said, if I wrote in this column that I was stoned while writing this column, people would think it would be outrageous, but if I said that I was drunk, nobody would say anything. And then I put in parentheses, I said, FYI, I was neither. And a couple people emailed me and said, well, when you put your FYI in there, you're implying that you would be embarrassed if you were stoned. And my response was, well, no, it was just actually a statement of fact. Right, I wasn't drunk or stoned, but it goes to the issue you're talking about, is that it's such a cultural taboo. Marijuana has been made into such a cultural taboo that people, even in states and municipalities that have passed laws over and over and over again demanding some kind of legalization of marijuana, people feel utterly and completely embarrassed to say that they've used it. And remember, polls show, when they ask people anonymously, polls show that roughly half the country has used marijuana at some time. The cultural taboo of this is really it's really powerful. And again, you know, this is supposed to be a country of limited government, libertarian spirit, but it's not when it comes to our drug laws. Greg, right, thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate you bringing up the subject. It's really important.
Thanks, man.
Cheers. Bye bye.
We'll go to Rick in Fort Collins. Rick.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey David, how are you?
All right.
Good. I just had a kind of a question. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it with the legalization of marijuana or that. You keep bringing up, and I've heard this argument for a long time, that it's a less harmful substance than, say, alcohol or possibly nicotine. I don't know. And my question then is, are the people that are really, you know, chasing down legislation to legalize this substance, are they doing it because, as you said, they think maybe it will take some pressure off and we won't have as many alcohol-related things because people will maybe switch, or are they wanting to legalize it simply because they want an excuse to get high?
Well, I'm not, you know, everyone's got their, you can't make monolithic statements about why people support legalization. I guess what I would say is that there's probably all different reasons. I'm sure there's people who want to legalize marijuana who don't use marijuana at all, but think it's the illegalization of it creates all sorts of problems in our criminal justice system, for instance. There are people who want to legalize marijuana who think that it would be an alternative for people to use instead of using alcohol. There are people who want to legalize marijuana because they simply want to be able to use marijuana without feeling like they might go to jail. And this is just my opinion. I think all those are legitimate. And you know, I know you're not supposed to say that, right? I know you're supposed to say, oh, well, anybody who wants to use marijuana, if you support legalization just because you want to use marijuana, that's not a legitimate reason. And frankly, that's why the debate over drug policy in our country, which is, we don't have much of a debate, but the limited debate we have over marijuana policy has always been about medicinal marijuana, because it feels politically safe. It's hard to be against allowing doctors to prescribe whatever drug they want to help, for instance, terminal cancer patients. You're really, in our political debate, you're really not allowed to say you support legalization of marijuana because you want to partake in using occasionally marijuana. That's considered utterly unacceptable. And I think what's ridiculous about that is that's unacceptable at a time when it's perfectly acceptable to say you want to get totally drunk. Right, I mean, we have office parties office keggers, political fundraisers are all about drinking. So that's really what's so odd, right? It's totally fine to have drinking and getting drunk or buzzed, totally in our society and in our interpersonal relationships. But you're not allowed. It's considered completely taboo to say that actually you just, you know, instead of getting drunk, you want to get a little stoned. That's completely taboo. And that is just so strange. It's bizarre. It's just really odd. I don't know where that comes from other than to say that marijuana over a course of decades has been demonized in just a ridiculous way. Thanks for the call. We'll squeeze in one quick call before we got to go to another break. Let's go to Preston in Denver. Preston.
Hi, David.
Hey there.
You know, when David Holder, the new AG, said that we've been kind of cowards regarding some race issues in this country, I think part of what he was referring to is this drug war, which under the Reagan administration and Ed Meese really got intensified. and put tens of thousands of primarily African-American and Hispanic people in cages for using this forbidden herb or for growing it or dealing it, and also poor whites as well. But it implicates, you know, medical issues, religious issues, freedom of thought issues, health issues, and on and on and on. The thing is about pot, there's no patent on it, and so a big corporation doesn't make money off of it. So
well, let me interrupt you. I mean, I do think a big corporation could make money off it.
Potentially.
I mean, I really do think that there are other products that there's no patent on, and the agribusiness, for instance, has figured out. I mean, granted, agribusiness has genetically modified crops that do have a patent, but agribusiness has been able to make money, a lot of money, off things that don't have patents.
Right.
And when I was in Mexico, I think that was actually the point. One of the points underlying that column I mentioned was that the fact that there is a marijuana industry, that there is high demand for marijuana, and the fact that marijuana is illegal and therefore is in a black market, is not out in a regulated market, creates all sorts of other, you know, problems. And black markets are riddled by crime and violence.
It's a cottage industry right now, and a lot of the drug trade isn't as violent as the impression we get. I mean, there are just regular people who are selling this. We had a farmer here in Colorado a couple of years ago who was growing some on his land. Now he's in jail for 10 years. And, you know, sorts of injustices like that go on every day. But, you know, the war against this plant has become a big jobs program.
You're right.
People in the DEA and the urine test industry. Also, employers, if you can find some THC in someone's bloodstream,
that's right,
you can let them go or not pay them unemployment benefits.
No, that's exactly right.
Interestingly, we have towns. It's been such an integral part of our society. We have towns like Hempstead, New York, which are named after this substance.
I didn't even think. Is that really true?
It is.
I mean, I know Hempstead, New York. I didn't know it was named. I guess that makes sense.
The previous caller brought up that book, The Emperor of Hemp.
Yeah.
There's actually a movie about the same person called The Emperor of Hemp, I think, is the same title. Fascinating history on this topic worldwide, and I'd encourage people to check it out. One last thing really quick. Did you notice the Obama kids? They're going to that wonderful Quaker school outside of D.C.
Right.
And it's one of the leading green architecture schools in the country. If you check out the current issue of E! Magazine, you can read about Sasha's and Malaya's wonderful school.
I didn't know that about the architecture. I'll check it out.
Thanks
for the call.
You bet.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. It's 7:50. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
David, they've cleared that crash southbound I-25 at Thornton Parkway, but still seeing some really slow speeds there, beginning at 136, so pretty long backups there. New crash northbound I-25 near Happy Canyon. That's going to make it really tough getting out of Castle Rock now. Already seeing delays back to Wolfensberger. Speeds there in the single digits. You may want to use 85 as an alternate. Other stop-and-go conditions, westbound 36, McCaslin to Foothills, and northbound I-25 from Washington Street Bridge to 6th Avenue. One other crash out there on the surface streets, northbound Colorado Boulevard, just south of I-70. Your forecast, sunny, warm, and windy with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Some of these gusts could reach 35 to 50 miles an hour. Right now, downtown, checking in at 53 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Save thousands during the Pinnacle at City Park South Tower 1 closeout sale. One-bedroom home.
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at aaahomeimprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
You'll never get the runaround at Cotman Transmission in Denver. Bring your vehicle by for an honest quote on your maintenance problems. If money is tight, Cotman has financing options too. 2630 South Broadway, just north of Yale, or call 303-761-8841.
You can't get out of debt because the credit card companies won't let you. That's right, they just won't let you. They've got a slick system that keeps you in debt until you're old and gray, but now there's a system that destroys debt. Hi, I'm Tony Manganiello, publisher of the Debt Free and Prosperous Living System.
and I'll send you my powerful free tape revealing how easy it is if you call today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
When you owe people money, they own you. My system takes all the money you're paying to make the credit card companies rich and redirects it into making you rich.
In 8 months, my credit cards were paid off.
You can do the same guaranteed, no matter how much money you make or how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. Call now for your free tape. 1-800-900-1484. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-1484. 1-800-900-1484.
753 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to talk to Michael Spear, the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. To reach him, you can give him a ring at 303-749-2770. We talk to him regularly about where the market is, what's going on. So fill us in. Anything new today? And if so, please make it good news, please.
Okay, let's see. The good news...
I mean, don't give us good news if there is no good news.
Don't make it up.
Right.
I'll tell you, the great news is that you're on the radio right now and you had a fabulous interview with Tom a little bit earlier. I mean, that was awesome.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I think it's important for people to try to understand what is... It's really hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. He really made some sense of it.
So, yeah, he did.
Yeah. So I thank you for putting that out for all of us listeners.
Sure.
Having said that, I'm not sure that I have a lot of good or bad news. The news is just what it is. You know what I mean? It's all how you take it, I think. The Dow is giving back some of its gains yesterday. We were up 150 at the end of the day yesterday, as you know. The Dow today is down 116, so we're giving back most of it. So that makes us up for the last 2 days. How's that for a spin? Up for the last 2 days.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not bad news. That's
right.
Not...
The NASDAQ is down 16. The S&P is off almost 13. The Russell's down 6.75. The good news is you don't have to ignore your portfolios in this. A lot of people feel like they just have to hold their breath and forget about it and hope that it comes back and hope and pray. And I think that, David, is a huge, huge, huge mistake. If your advisor continues to tell you, hang on, it'll come back. Well, if you're 21 years old, you might have time for it to come back. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you need to attend to it right now. So let's get on it right now. There are investments out there right now that are going up that I think can lower your risk as compared to what you have in stocks and or common mutual funds. Those are good products at the right time. In my opinion, most of them it's not the right time for right now. So give us a call and we'll help you figure out perhaps a better way to do this, and we're not going to blow you off if you say you're nervous about the market and that you have to hold on. You don't. Give us a call.
Mike Spear, Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. Give him a call at 303-749-2770. These are times when I completely agree. The main thing you cannot do is ignore what's going on. Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10, it was strictly high stakes and definitely illegal. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars crossed the table. It was the kind of game where some lost everything, their homes, their marriages, even their lives. The guy who ran it loved to throw his mob connections around. And the guys who sat around the table, high profile, doctors, lawyers, ex-pro jocks, even media personalities. Deborah Sherman investigates. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10.
Oh, try Deli Zone today and enjoy a regular size New York style sub for $4.99. For fresh, delicious New York style sandwiches you crave, it's Deli Zone. Find a Deli Zone near you at DeliZone.net.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to take one call before the top of the hour. Dan, you've been holding. Dan in Broomfield. Real quick, go ahead.
Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, good. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to mention, well, for one thing, the guy that called before, I don't remember his name, and asked if it was just an excuse to get high. You know, so what if it is? It's the same thing as with alcohol. I think you probably said that to him.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing that I don't really understand is and I'm not necessarily sure the caller before was saying it would be necessarily a bad thing, but definitely societally, it is considered unacceptable to say that you support legalization because you want to partake in marijuana. It's absurd because it's perfectly fine to say that you want alcohol to be legal because you want to have a drink every now and again. It's really just a bizarre hypocrisy.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
It is.
But also with
Dan, I gotta get the news. I apologize. Sorry, it's quick. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. 303-713-7600. Back after the top of the hour.
Did you know that the new Climate Smart program allows Boulder County residents to install solar power with no out-of-pocket cost? Learn how you can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program at an exclusive Boulder County Community Solar event at the Louisville Rec Center on March 18th at 7 p.m. Meet the founder and owner of Independent Power Systems, Tony Boniface, as he shares his 15 years of solar experience and answers questions about solar energy and how you can eliminate your electric bill for life. Tony will present the details of the Climate Smart program and the IPS community discount on Wednesday, March 18th at the Louisville Rec Center at 7 p.m. IPS, the Coors Field solar experts, invite you to meet Tony Boniface and learn how to eliminate your electric bill for life. For more, go to solarips.com/climate and RSVP for this free seminar. The Climate Smart Loan Program for Boulder County residents. Brought to you by Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
No obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free no obligation consultation, call now. 800-501-7781. That's 800-501-7781. Don't miss out. Call 800-501-7781.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. Now on your iPhone and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. The employment office may be the busiest place in town. Fresh government figures show that 639,000 workers filed new unemployment insurance claims last week, close to a 27-year high. Economist Nariman Berevish expects claims to stay high for a while.
They will get better probably by the end of this year, but in the meantime, they're going to get a lot worse.
80-year-old Mary Bennett knows how hard it is to find work. After losing her job as a machinist, it took 9 months to find a new one. She can't afford to retire.
I pretty sure have to work to keep my place going and everything.
It wasn't a bad February for Walmart. Sales were up more than 5%. But retailing consultant Bert Flickinger says other big chains didn't do nearly as well.
We're still seeing a big downdraft in department stores, specialty stores, jewelry stores, furniture stores, even in drug stores. Walgreens is reporting disappointing numbers.
GM says its auditors have raised serious doubts that it can stay in business. John McElroy is an industry analyst.
Here's the auditors finally saying, look, if GM doesn't get the cash, it's going out of business. They're certainly going right into Chapter 11.
The Houston heart surgeon who operated on Barbara Bush is pleased with the former First Lady's post-op condition.
Mrs. Bush is in very good condition. She tolerated the surgery very well.
Dr. Gerald Laurie gave Mrs. Bush a new aortic valve. She'd been complaining about a shortness of breath. Barbara Bush is 83. The Pentagon is out with a report on how many Iraq and Afghan war veterans suffered brain injuries. CBS's Steve Knight has that.
This is the first time that the Pentagon has estimated the number of potential brain injury casualties among the 1.8 million troops who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Brigadier General Murray Sutton says 360,000 troops might have been hurt. Up to 90,000 of them require specialized care for persistent headaches, sleep disorders, and problems with memory, vision, and balance. Steve Knight, CBS News.
When do we work?
Same-sex couples were on the march last night ahead of today's California Supreme Court hearing on the law that bans same-sex marriage. In Washington State, assisted suicide is legal as of today.
Rob Miller with the group Compassion and Choices expects very few terminal patients will choose to end their life.
They just want to know that they can if they need to.
Dr. Anthony Box says the new law includes waiting periods and other safeguards.
This is death on my own terms. It's a very different way of looking at death.
Doctors are divided on the new end-of-life option. They can choose not to prescribe lethal drugs. Tim Hake for CBS News, Seattle.
The White House may have something in common with your house, a new backyard playset. CBS News correspondent Bill Plants.
The president should be able to look out the window of the Oval Office and see his children playing on this playset. When it was installed, He and the First Lady came down with the girls, took them over to it. The girls, we're told, reacted with squeals of delight, jumped on it, and started playing.
In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are down 80 points. This is CBS News.
And our brand new cars come with big new payments. Right now, with the economy having a bad hair day, you want to keep the car you got running stronger for longer. Advance Auto Parts. They make it easy to keep your ride running right with offers like 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. Get the oil and filter, and they'll sweeten the deal with $2 off any air or cabin air filter. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. It just keeps blowing. The National Weather Service has issued another red flag warning today. The wind, along with another day of record high temperatures, raising the fire danger in Colorado. Even meteorologist Frank Cooper says he's had enough of it.
It keeps me up at night. I've had to replace a tarp over an old bug I got out in the yard several times. I can't seem to keep it on there.
The wind's expected to die down later tonight. Temperatures should also drop by this weekend. And we could even see a snow shower on Saturday. A Denver mother says social services took her 2 boys and her girl away after one of her boys fell into an irrigation ditch and nearly drowned.
My kids were crying and screaming because they didn't want to go.
Erica Arumburo talking with 9 News. Doctors say 2-year-old Robbie Arumburo has a 50-50 chance of survival. Robbie's grandmother was watching him while Mother Erica was moving. The other children have been placed with a family member while Denver Human Services completes its investigation. That could take up to a month. Former Quest CEO Joe Nachio has just 2.5 weeks before he must report to prison in Pennsylvania. Nachio to serve a 6-year term for insider trading. He'll live in a prison camp that's ranked number 7 on AskMen.com's top 10 list of luxury prisons. The camp offers a game room and outdoor sports. A controversial forum at CU tonight featuring former Professor Ward Churchill and former Weather Underground activist Bill Ayers. Churchill made headlines when he compared 9/11 victims to Nazis.
And why, by the way, did it take Arabs to do what people here should have done a long time ago?
Churchill's wrongful termination lawsuit against CEU goes to trial Monday. Tonight's forum is sponsored by a group called Students for True Academic Freedom. Sports, the Broncos add a running back to the roster. He is former New England Patriot Lamont Jordan, and the Avalanche lose their 6th straight to the Detroit Red Wings 3-2. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
We're looking at a lot of slow stretches as you're making your way around the metro. Southbound is on I-25 as you're coming out of Thornton and Northland. Still looking at those big-time delays following an earlier accident. Boulderbound drivers on the turnpike. You're dragging McCaslin to South Boulder Road. Northbound I-25 is picking up a little bit as you're making your way out of Castle Rock. We've had a crash that occurred near Happy Canyon. Really backed things up for the time, for a while. It looks like it is going to start to improve. Eastbound is on 36. Sun's hitting you in the eye. You're going to start slowing down once you get to about Sheridan, taking you up to I-25. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get your Arapahoe Basin Spring Pass now. Adult passes are just $209, youth for $159, and children for just $109. For more information, call 1-888-ARAPAHOE or check out arapahoebasin.com.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured, and better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. I'm talking about a lot of things this morning. Earlier on, we were talking about the financial meltdown in the first hour. Second hour, we were talking a lot about our country's absurd drug policy. But yesterday, we were talking about the Employee Free Choice Act. And our next guest is going to fill us in a little bit about what it might mean, why I think it's necessary, and I assume he thinks it's necessary, although maybe I shouldn't assume. But before we get to our guest, I just want to give a backgrounder on the Employee Free Choice Act. The Employee Free Choice Act, if you hadn't paid attention to your television here in Colorado in 2008, when all the ads were on about it, the Employee Free Choice Act would simply allow workers in an employment situation to certify a certain kind of union election that employers are already allowed to certify. Let me explain what I mean by that. Right now, if a group of workers, a majority of workers in a workplace, signs a card saying they want to be in a union, the employer at that workplace can certify the union based on that majority of signed cards. What is not allowed to happen under the law right now is that workers themselves are not allowed to certify the union. Only the employer right now is allowed to certify that what's called a card check election. What the Employee Free Choice Act would do is simply say that workers would be allowed to certify the union themselves. And there's been a whole bunch of propaganda around this about the secret ballot and whether it would eliminate the secret ballot and would this bring on intimidation. Of course, we know that most intimidation in union elections happens on the employer side. There was a study yesterday from the Center for Economics Policy Research showing that in 1 in 4 union election situations, a pro-union worker is fired illegally. So joining us now is Ray Hoegler, who is a professor at the College of Business at the University of Colorado. And he has studied American labor relations and unions for the last 32 years. I've relied on him in my own writing on labor issues to explain some of this stuff to us. Professor Hoegler, thanks for being on this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, David. And by the way, it's Colorado State.
I'm sorry. I apologize. CSU. That's what I thought. I apologize.
Yes, that's fine.
I hope I wasn't assuming too much in what you think about the Employee Free Choice Act. The first question I'll ask is, tell us your thoughts on it as a labor expert who has been studying these issues for so long.
Sure, and I'll begin with what you just mentioned, this study that came out yesterday by one lawyer and one economist. What these people did was to extend the line of research. It's been going on for a long time, and there's argument about why unions are declining. There's no argument that they are. But the argument is whether global economic conditions and competition and changes out of manufacturing, things like that account for it. And the counter-argument, the second theory, is to say, no, what accounts for it is employer opposition, which is can be both illegal and legal. And what these people found, as you pointed out, was that in 1 of 4 elections, there are illegal discharges. Now, research shows that employees, if you threaten them or you tell them things that aren't exactly true, they can kind of get past that. But when you start firing them, that really does have an impact. So that's the justification for the Employee Free Choice Act. I think part of the problem with getting this act passed is that it's so easy to attack that card check procedure that this thing might be sound bitten to death. I mean, it's just so easy to say, well, they're trying to take away your right to vote. Now, that's going to make it difficult. But the other two provisions are really, to me, the more important ones, and I think those don't get talked about very much. But I think they're also key to understanding why this act would be very beneficial to unions.
And what are those?
The second part of it is what's called mandatory arbitration. And here's the thing. If I'm a large and powerful employer, large in the sense that I have a lot of employees and my work is not relatively skilled, these aren't airline pilots, they're just people who can do a routine job. If I negotiate with a union and the union says this is what we want, I say forget it, I'm not giving you anything. And under law, I don't have to make any concessions. They can say, well, we'll strike. And if they strike, I do have a legal right to replace those employees temporarily or permanently. It doesn't mean they're fired because they have a protected right to strike. But what it does mean is that the employer can fill those jobs until vacancies arise, at which point he will offer the vacated jobs to the strikers. But in the meantime, let's just say you're Walmart. You have a number of these jobs. I'm sure in this day and age, you could probably find PhDs to fill those jobs.
Right.
So unions have relatively little power in that sense. And once a union calls a strike to try to demand concessions in a contract, they basically made the commitment that if they don't get that, they will give up. And that happens all the time. So this mandatory arbitration process would submit a dispute to binding arbitration. Now, that's used everywhere in the public sector.
Right. That's right.
It's used in the Postal Service, for example. It's been used there. So this stuff works, but there's a tremendous amount of criticism of it. The point about this, though, is it's hard to understand. It's hard to reduce to a very simple slogan like this card check thing.
Right. And, you know, I've made the point. I mean, one way I've tried to make the point is that this simply, the card check issue simply extends a power to workers themselves that employers already have. I mean, an employer right now can certify a card check election if it wants to or not. Workers can't. The other point that I make is that the Employee Free Choice Act is effectively law in, I think it's in parts of Canada.
Yes.
And there hasn't been a major problem there with workers. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of complaints from workers that they feel overly intimidated, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what's really amazing to me is that the biggest thugs in the worker employer relationship is the employer. I mean, that's what the data tells us, that the biggest thugs, the biggest intimidating force right now, overwhelmingly, is the employer.
Yeah,
and yet the employers are the ones complaining that this will bring on intimidation.
Yeah, I would just say, I think, David, I would qualify that just a little bit. I think the biggest thugs are those guys who walk in the $5,000 suits and Gucci shoes.
Right.
From the big law firm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They're the thugs. I mean, I truly believe that most employers are reluctant to engage in tactics against their employees that are really destructive. I mean, because...
Well, but they're the ones hiring those law firms.
Yes, but they hire the law firms and they say, you know, it's sort of out of our hands now. We've hired these lawyers and they give us this advice. There's no lawyer that tells employers to go fire the union supporters. But every lawyer, when asked the question, what happens if I fire this guy, they will basically say, not much.
Right. That's right.
Part three of the act, because if I fire a union supporter or a pro-union advocate, I know it has a chilling effect on everybody else. And the penalties for my doing so, if I want to expend the energy, it's going to be 3 years until this guy gets his job back.
Right. It's the cost of doing business. I mean, the amount that unions raise wages and negotiate for health care benefits, that's actually a real cost to employers. I mean, an NLRB fine is a rounding error.
No, the study you referred to, I think I saw the figure cited in there, the average back pay award is $2,700.
Right, exactly. And you know, I've been telling folks, you know, that what I've been, in the realm of politics, been upset with here in Colorado is that our newly appointed senator is refusing to take a position on the Employee Free Choice Act. Wait, by the way, most, I think every Democratic elected official, people who've actually faced the voters, all of them have come out in publicly in support of the Democrats, in support of, in this state, of the Employee Free Choice Act. In fact, the only Democrat who hasn't is the guy who hasn't faced voters yet, Senator Bennett. And I've told people, you know, we need to call Senator Bennett at 866-455-9866 and tell him to take a public position, and hopefully his public position will be in support of this. I know why he's dithering around. He's afraid of getting attacked for it, but it's just remarkable to me that he just hasn't taken a position.
Well, I would add to that, if you look on YouTube and Google Mark Udall, you will see a clip of Udall standing in Congress saying, I'm not too sure about this card check. Udall waffles himself. He may now have taken the position, yeah, I'm all for it. But when he was debating Bob Schaefer, Schaefer is dead against it. Udall was equivocal. He says, I don't know for sure if I can support this, but I'm thinking about it. There may be some problems.
Well, he is
right about Bennett. He's the mystery man.
Udall has subsequently said, at least in position papers, that he supports it. If he goes back on that, man, that would be
right. So he may have figured out which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah, I mean,
about Michael Bennett.
This is going to be a huge battle, folks. Huge. This is an issue that really unifies big money altogether, right? This is every big money player doesn't want to see workers be able to better negotiate wages, benefits, workplace safety. So we need to get in touch with Michael Bennett, 866-455-9866. He has not faced the voters. We need him to take a public position right now. Professor Hoegler, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me on, David.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
819, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're going to do open phones after this next break, so give us a call, 303-713-7600. Talk about whatever you want. We talked about everything this morning, with financial deregulation to marijuana to the Employee Free Choice Act. Let's talk traffic now with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is still busy for us as we're trying to get an early start to wrap up this commute, but this crash, right shoulder, southbound I-25 near Spear just happened and causing some really bad delays coming into downtown, back past I-70. Also busy, 136 down to Thornton Park, where we had an earlier accident cleared. Northbound side also sluggish there, heading into Thornton. Reports of a speed trap there, a couple different motorcycle cops between 84th and 104th. Also, northbound 25, going to be busy for you. Downing Street up to 6th Avenue. Other spots with stop-and-go traffic right now. Southbound 225, Parker Road to 25, and on westbound 36th from Flatiron Circle up to Foothills Parkway. A couple crashes to let you know about. Two cars involved. Southbound Santa Fe at Hamden. Also got one at Dry Creek in Colorado. And still working this one in the cleanup phase. Northbound Colorado just before I-70. Your forecast, very windy, a little bit cooler.
Get the good stuff!
Hey, Mike Waltrip here. You know those makeover shows where they turn a dumpy-looking house into something really special? Well, we'd like to do the same thing with your hat. So stop into any participating Napa Auto Parts store, and with a purchase, turn one of your old hats into a 2009 Napa Racing hat. And while you're in there, why not pick up some incredible Napa parts and give your car a makeover as well? The Napa Hat Spot. Limit one per customer. Only good while supplies last.
Napa. Get the good stuff!
For $1 million, name things that are green.
GoGreenFurnace.com.
Okay, the judges will accept that. We need three more.
GoGreenFurnace.com.
That's one. Name other things that are green.
GoGreenFurnace.com.
We're running out of time. Maybe something that says ribbit?
GoGreenFurnace.com?
Seriously?
Sure, there are other green things, but the planet's friendliest heating and cooling systems are at GoGreenFurnace.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Johnson, Human Resources Manager, and I can tell you, as a leading tech company, we naturally use the web to find talent. My job is to find the brightest tech candidates. Dice.com has the most qualified and talented candidates out there. Because DICE focuses on technology and engineering, I save a lot of time and trouble sifting through thousands of resumes from sites that aren't relevant to our business. Usually we're looking for experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers. We found over half our key hires through DICE.
DICE is the number one online technology job board. For over 17 years, DICE has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on DICE to access the best tech talent. Or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit DICE.com. DICE.com.
40. And by 50, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. So what do? See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body maintain prostate health. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-424-1495. That's 1-800-424-1495. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-424-1495. That's 1-800-424-1495.
I think I'll listen to the radio.
It went away because, ladies and gentlemen...
But, sir, how are you listening to Jay? He's nowhere near here.
Oh, I listen online. I just go to...
That's AM760.net, sir.
Yeah, that's it.
Are you sure that's right?
Hey, guys, I know what the website address is. I'm the president, remember? I know everything.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Listen to AM760, Colorado's progressive talk on AM760.net.
I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. A favor that I'd like to ask of all the listeners out there. Two favors. First and foremost, go over to www.5280.com/TOT, like top of the town. Again, www.5280.com/TOT. And vote in 5280 Magazine's Top of the Town contest. Tell them what your favorite restaurant is, your favorite sports player. And if you like my newspaper column, which appears in the Denver Post and all throughout Colorado, tell them, you know, write me in as your favorite columnist. And if you like Jay, which I assume you do if you're listening to this station, write in Jay for your favorite radio host. Secondly, I've been doing some MSNBC television appearances. They're looking for a 10 p.m. host, and they want to hear feedback from viewers of that network at 10 p.m. Eastern to follow Rachel Maddow. So if you could email letters@msnbc.com and tell them you wanted to consider me, and go on to Facebook and you search Sirota and MSNBC, you'll see a big Facebook group asking MSNBC to consider me. I would really appreciate it. So again, www.5280.com/TOT. Vote in the Top of the Town contest here in Colorado. Hopefully you'll be willing to vote for me for the columnist slot, and then go over to Facebook and search Sirota and MSNBC and help me get MSNBC to consider me for its 10 p.m. slot. I would appreciate it. It's a long shot, but it's worth a shot. Right? They want to hear from viewers. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Heidi in Thornton. Heidi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Hey, so I think that legalizing marijuana would be a good way to stimulate the economy. It would create jobs. People would spend money.
Tax revenue.
You could tax it. Right. I think we just solved the national debt.
Well, don't quote me on this, but I heard somebody say that if you tax it, you could gain $10 billion in revenue. I'm not sure if that's true, but certainly there's already an industry going on, happening around marijuana that we're not taxing. And, you know, I mentioned before that drug policy has so many different implications. It's one of those policies like campaign finance reform that's in every other policy. It's in criminal justice policy. It's in social policy. And obviously, as you mentioned, it's in budget policy. I mean, this unregulated market and business is happening, and there's certainly tax revenue to be made.
Well, I think we should put in a call to President Obama and get this through.
You know, I'm not a water carrier for the administration. I like President Obama. I certainly like him a lot more than I like the Republicans, but I'm not a water carrier for them. But this said, I think there's a lot of potential for them on drug policy reform. His appointments have been good. The announcement from the Justice Department that they're not going to be using the DEA to push around states when states move to have a more rational drug policy. I think there's a lot of potential there. So I certainly think we should definitely make our voice heard to the Obama administration to keep on trucking. This is what we want. Our drug policy is absolutely absurd. Heidi, thanks for the call.
Sure, no problem.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Let's go to Fred in Copper Mountain. Fred.
Good morning.
Hey there.
Calling from Copper Mountain. Hey, I wanted to comment about the drug stuff just a bit. I guess the snowboarding culture maybe is the last bastion of counterculture, you know, in America, wherein, yeah, if you want to get high, that's fine. It's part of the thing. I'm an old-time skier, you know, I'm not, you know, these guys are 20 years younger than me or more, but I think it's interesting to me that, you know, you talk about it being a cultural taboo. Well,
right.
In one subculture, it's the other way around.
How do you mean?
I think it's a good thing, you know, that the herb is a good thing. And, you know, like I say, it's counterculture in the sense that if the majority culture is anti-drug, then the counterculture is, well, I don't want pro isn't exactly the right way to say it, but certainly accepting of it.
Well, what's interesting is that the majority of the country is for some kind of legalization. That's in polls. What's interesting is that the majority of the country is different from the what is represented as the country's culture. By that I mean is that the country believes has a pretty clear opinion on this issue, and yet the culture, which is what is represented in our media, what is represented in our entertainment, that culture represents a wholly different opinion.
Absolutely, because I think it's really the conservative, puritanical culture that Druggy Limbaugh, you know, the drug man himself,
right,
represents, that, you know, is wants to have war instead of all of us getting along, wants to lock people up, especially people of color, wants to keep the power of the criminal, you know, the whole industry around the criminalization of it and the prisons and all of that. So it's really, and get the people who agree with that, you know, the feeble-minded conservatives that just, you know, have to follow authority and be told what to think and what to do, and all they can say is ditto. You know, he can spend them pretty hard, and they're, of course, they're all against it. But as you point out, that's not really the majority. That's not the majority of America.
The only thing I would add is that I'm not convinced that all conservatives, or even most conservatives, are necessarily against drug policy reform. Now, sure, the hardcore base of the Republican Party is. But, you know, you look at the candidacies of Ron Paul, you look at the libertarian movement, the Cato Institute, the libertarian think tank in Washington. There are elements of the conservative movement that are rational on this, that actually mean what they say when they call themselves conservative. I mean, frankly, a more rational drug policy is, in a way, conservative. A policy that says that there should be some legalization of marijuana is one that is really principally representing the concept of limited government. Let's get the government out of our social cultural and community decisions. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. We'll be doing more calls after we hear from traffic with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Still really a rough ride around Denver for us, even going in between Boulder and Denver on the turnpike. Got a crash, right shoulder accident, southbound I-25 near Spear Boulevard. That's adding to our normal jams. We're heading into downtown. We also had an earlier crash up at Thornton Parkway. So just imagine these backups coming in from northbound. They begin around 136th Ave. Northbound side of 25 also busy down in Castle Rock due to an earlier crash at Surrey Ridge. And also going to be stop and go Downing Street up to 6th Avenue. New crash eastbound 6th Avenue just east of Federal. Also got a couple surface street crashes, southbound Santa Fe at Hamden and Dry Creek in Colorado. Your forecast, sunny, warm, and windy, highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Some of these gusts this afternoon could reach 35 to 50 miles an hour. Right now, downtown is checking in at 57 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
At the freeway, we do deals your way every day. After rebates, get a brand new Escape or F-150 for just $15.9.
Hey, welcome to Radio Shack. Oh, sorry about my college marching band. I love tournament time, so I have them follow me everywhere.
Well, you know, all you need is Sirius Satellite Radio with the best of XM. You'll hear all the live college basketball you could want, plus with 100% commercial-free music. Everything worth listening to is now on Sirius.
Awesome!
Buy a $50 Sirius prepaid subscription card and save $30 on all Sirius Dock and Play radios, including the Stratus 5 at $39.99, only at Radio Shack.
Offer good through 3/14/09. Service activation fee, other fees, and restrictions apply.
Families make many sacrifices for us. Let's salute them and the officers and firefighters who serve every day here at home. This important message is brought to you by Boulder Valley Crane Service, proudly serving the community for 10 years. That's Boulder Valley Crane Service, saluting our men and women in uniform stationed here and around the world. Boulder Valley Crane Service.
Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Have you been making credit card payments for years? Only feel like the balance never goes down. In fact, with interest rate hikes and late fees, you feel like you're getting further and further behind, no matter how high your credit card debt is. At Jordan McKenna, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you.
Together we can reduce what you owe and stop those collection calls.
We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars of your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan McKenna now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe,
stop the never-ending collection calls,
and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free, no-obligation consultation, call now. 800-501-7781. That's 800-501-7781. Don't miss out. Call 800-501-7781.
For fresh, delicious New York-style sandwiches you'll crave, it's Deli Zone. Come in today and get a New York-style sub for only $4.99. For a slice of New York in your backyard, find a Deli Zone near you at DeliZone.net.
TopDot is a licensed mortgage banker raised based on an APR of 6.875%.
The following is a special report from TopDot Mortgage. In today's top story, a toll-free hotline has been established to help all homeowners who are stuck in adjustable rate or high interest rate mortgages. The Federal Housing Administration has already helped over 400,000 homeowners refinance their mortgages with HUD's Affordable Mortgage Insurance Program, with fixed interest rates starting as low as 5%. Call the hotline now at 1-800-300-4011. Again, a toll-free hotline has been established for all homeowners in adjustable rate or high interest rate mortgages, even if you have less than perfect credit. And when you call now, you can get an absolutely free quote to see how low your interest could fall. This opportunity may only be available for a limited time. And again, your credit score may not even be a factor. So call now. That toll-free number again is 1-800-300-4011. That's 1-800-300-4011. 1-800-300-4011.
Don't miss the new lifestyle section in today's Denver Post. Bill Husted takes Talk Radio's Mike Rosen to a bar and grills him with questions for his new column, Bar and Grilled. Plus, check out Penny Parker's new column in the business section. You'll still get the news only in the Post.
You can live truly debt-free on just the money you already make using my proven system. Let me send you a free tape today that shows you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, no matter how much debt you have. have.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Komuta.
Call now and I'll rush you my free tape. Call 1-800-400-8380. That's 1-800-400-8380. 1-800-400-8380.
Here on what's shaping up to be another beautiful Denver day. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Just caught this off the wire. This is really incredible about the healthcare debate. I'm reading a Politico story here about Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, saying that he is organizing opposition to any kind of health care reform. It says McConnell suggested that there were areas in which Republicans won't compromise, particularly the creation of a new public insurance program to compete with private insurers. Quote, forcing free market plans to compete with these government-run programs would create an unlevel playing field and inevitably doom true competition, McConnell said. Now, I don't get this. The Republicans tell us that the free market is supreme, it's amazing, and that government-run programs are horrible. So I don't get, if that's true, why should a free market program have trouble competing for patients with a government-run program? Well, let me restate that. The Republicans tell us that that free market health care plans are more efficient and better, far better, way better than government-run health care programs. And yet, if that's so obvious, if that's such a truism, how are they now publicly worrying that if these supposedly awesome, amazing free market healthcare plans are put into competition with these supposedly awful government-run healthcare programs, how are they worrying that the government-run program will win that competition? I don't understand. I do understand. What they're really saying is that they're corrupt. These people, these Republican legislators, are so bought off by the private health insurance industry that they're literally resorting to making an argument that undermines their entire thesis. You can't argue that the free market is great, but that a free market healthcare plan can't compete with a government-run healthcare program that you say is so bad. If it's so great, it should win the competition. If it's so great, Republicans should welcome the competition. What they're really saying is that they know that the public, they see the polls that show the public wants a government-sponsored, government-regulated healthcare program, and that if a program like that, like a Medicare, is put into competition with a private HMO, most patients will choose the public program. That's the thing they can't admit. They simply can't admit that. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Bob in Colorado Springs. Bob.
Hello, David. One of the things that the free market conservatives should support is one of the issues is legalization of marijuana. 2004, there was an economic study by Dr. Jeffrey Miron. He's a professor at Harvard, I believe, and this report basically said that for Colorado, we spend $64 million a year trying to enforce marijuana prohibition. And we forego another $17 million every year by not taxing it and, regulating it. So total is $81 million we are flushing down the drain, or basically forego the tax revenue as part of it, but with the $64 million in enforcement and judicial and incarceration and all those costs, we just basically flush that down the toilet every year. And as a free market issue, why do conservatives support, we got to get the government in there and, get more cops on the street to arrest people for a consensual use that really doesn't harm anyone. Nobody's ever died from this.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I think we ought to be cautious about blaming all conservatives. There are principled conservatives who totally agree. I mean, I think it's better to use the term, I think, Republican Party. I mean, and by the way, there are lots of parts of the Democratic Party. It's like the reactionary political establishment, which is afraid of this issue. You're totally right. And especially at a time when we're talking about budget deficits, right? I mean, we're talking about fiscal responsibility, budget deficits, and we've got an entire unregulated market, an untaxed market.
Well, absolutely. You know, I don't know how many million dollars of revenue that, you know, your local 7-Eleven might like to, or your liquor store might like to sell marijuana, and they can't sell it. You know, the government has basically said any legitimate business that wants to operate and sell this product, we're going to arrest you and, you know, put you in jail.
Although there are certainly business interests behind that. I mean, the liquor companies, I'm sure, have no problem with marijuana being illegal.
Absolutely. They have, I believe it was way back in the 70s when I think Colorado had relaxed its marijuana laws somewhat, the beer industry, and it's probably Coors, lobbied very strongly to say, you know, hey, we're losing a lot of money here on the college campuses. We can't have people using marijuana, because people chose to smoke marijuana, which is much safer. You know, you don't get the violence primarily that you get with alcohol abuse.
Yeah, that's right. Look, marijuana is definitely a mortal threat. I'll walk that back. Maybe not a mortal threat, but certainly a somewhat of a threat to the profit margins of the alcohol industry. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there's no debate about that, and that certainly plays a major factor into the politics of drug policy. Thanks for the call. We'll go back to the phones. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin. 303-713-7600. Give us a ring. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go to my buddy, Professor Alan Gilbert from University of Denver. How you doing?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, actually, I have a broad thought on the current discussion, and I have a question about the earlier discussion.
Go for it.
Okay. Michael Oakeshott is a great British political conservative, and his primary notion of conservatism is that the laws enable each individual to pursue her own course in life, and that the government, therefore, is an enabler of this and doesn't get in the way. Now, there are a whole series of prejudices, patriarchal prejudices, associated with conservatism. But if you think of that view, just on the face of it, the idea of pouring a huge amount of money in the prison system to punish people for having marijuana and making the kind of crazy effort that they do here seems like, on the face of it, a remarkably anti-conservative thing to do. And, in fact, for example, Andrew Sullivan, who blogs at The Atlantic, is fiercely opposed to the laws about marijuana. Opposed to the horrible prejudices against gays and lesbians, which the Republican Party has made its living off under Karl Rove. And perhaps more importantly of all, really opposes torture. So if you look at the Bush administration from a conservative point of view, as I have outlined it, it would seem that it's a kind of authoritarian. It was a kind of authoritarian administration, and in fact, all the latest memos by John Yoo about the need for a police state seems to, a police state, meaning no First Amendment, no Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure and so on, about Americans, really shows how the Republican Party has morphed into something that is at best inconsistent and at worst, sheerly authoritarian.
Right, and authoritarian, and we're talking about ideology here.
Right.
Authoritarian is different, diametrically opposite of conservatism in the ideological kind of way. Conservatism, it supposed to be founded on the idea of limiting as much as possible the authoritarian impulse in government. So those are two wholly separate things. And you're right that especially when it comes to social policy, drug policy, policy on gays and lesbians, abortion policy, that the Republican Party is a far more authoritarian party than it is a conservative one.
Yes, another way of putting this is that the term easily thrown around neoconservative, there is nothing conservative about neoconservatives. They are authoritarian imperial. This is I'm quoting from a letter of Leo Strauss long ago, who was a patron saint of these people. The principles of the right are fascist authoritarian imperial. The only thing that prevents it from being fascist is that the evangelicals are not quite the kind of mass movement.
But otherwise, right. It's like a synonym, right? Neoconservatism is basically a synonym for extreme authoritarianism. That's a good way of putting it. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. And if you have time, go to www.5280.com, 5280 Magazine, www.5280.com/TO2.
They got a best traffic reporter?
I don't know. You know what? There's a section on the top of the town ballot that allows...
For a write-in.
For a write-in of a category.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Come on, Dave. Hook me up.
You're right. You know what? Go on to www.5280.com/TOT. Write in Jay Marvin in the existing category for best radio host. If you like my column, write in David Sirota for best columnist. And then there's a section to write in your own category. And I nominate John Turk as the best traffic reporter.
Well, maybe not traffic reporter. Maybe... producer, best. Maybe a little more lucrative.
We got to come up with a better title.
Yeah, I know. Traffic reporter. Well, I produce and generally screw things up here in the morning with Jay. So,
radio production artist.
Yeah, best. I don't know. I got to win.
Think
kind
on
of
it.
Category.
You got to think on it before I nominate. Let's hear some traffic.
All right, traffic is still pretty busy for us. Normally we've made some clearing at this point, but right now still seeing a lot of traffic moving around Denver. Still got this crash on the right shoulder, southbound I-25. It's near Spear Boulevard. Backups go to around I-70. Also busy up in North Glen due to an earlier crash at Thornton Parkway. This other crash, eastbound 6th Avenue around Federal, causing some pretty good backups and slow speeds. Going to start hitting the brakes at Sheridan. Also starting to shape up on 225 in Aurora. You will have to maybe tap the brakes a hair once you get past Parker Road, making the trip down to 25. Our other accident, Dry Creek in Colorado, that one's been there for a while. It is in the cleanup phase. And if you're traveling northbound 25, checking a speed trap there between 84th and 104th. Your forecast, very windy, a little bit cooler with sunny skies and a high of 70. Right now, 57 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Through the Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program, Kohl's plans to recognize over 2,000 kids with scholarships and prizes.
TurboTax presents a message from Benjamin Franklin.
As a $100 bill, I'm in high demand. People are always trying to get me away from you. But here's one way you can hold on to me and do your taxes. Just go to TurboTax.com. At TurboTax.com, you can do your simple federal return for free with the TurboTax Federal Free Edition. And I can stay right where you want me, in your pants. Pocket, your pants pocket.
TurboTax, choose easy. Get the Federal Free Edition at TurboTax.com.
Then you have to trust those who we elect that they're going to do the right thing.
The Ed Schultz Show, mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Mark, technician for Elite Auto Glass and Safelite Auto Glass.
Cold nights can cause big problems for windshields. My last customer ignored a small chip on his. Water got into the chip, it froze, expanded, and crack. He could have saved time and money if he would have called us sooner. When a chip's smaller than a dollar bill, Elite Safelite can usually repair it without removing the windshield. Plus, with most insurance plans, it's free.
Just one call to 303-287-5000. Takes care of everything.
Elite Repair. Elite Replace.
Everybody has credit card debt. Everybody. How'd you like to get rid of that debt in a day? Just go into your bedroom. Take a look in your dresser drawer. You've got unwanted gold jewelry you never wear. A single earring. Stuff you don't want. Cash it in right now with the high price of gold. You could have hundreds or thousands in cash and not even know it. Cash for Gold is absolutely the safest, easiest way to turn your unused and unwanted gold and jewelry into cash. Cash for Gold is a direct refiner of precious metals. They cut out the middleman. More cash for you. Call Cash for Gold for a free return pack. Place your items in the pack and send it back to them. They'll send you cash within 24 hours of package receipt, and your jewelry is 100% insured. Call 1-800-791-4485 or log on to cash4gold.com/radio to receive an extra 5% for your gold and jewelry. That's cash4gold.com/radio and receive 5% extra for your gold. Or call 1-800-791-4485. 1-800-791-4485.
The quote on our kitchen cabinets was so high, I said no, no way.
Until our neighbors shared their secret. They said Designer Surplus had what we wanted for less.
Way less.
The secret is out. Designer Surplus sells solid wood, high-quality kitchen packages for under $1,000. And solid wood bathroom vanities with marble tops for under $300. Call now for your free full-color catalog. 1-800-994-1189.
Designer Surplus had everything we wanted.
Real hardwood cabinets, beautifully made.
High quality for less.
Choose from oak, cherry, and more in traditional and contemporary designs, all at a nearby store or shipped directly to you.
When you pull out a drawer, they feel expensive.
All the quality without the expense.
It's the secret to getting a dream kitchen.
The secret is out. Designer Surplus sells high quality hardwood kitchen cabinets and bathroom vanities for less, way less. Visit a store near you or call now for your free catalog. 1-800-994-1189. That's 1-800-994-1189.
You can't get out of debt because the credit card companies won't let you. That's right. They just won't let you. They've got a slick system that keeps you in debt until you're old and gray. But now there's a system that destroys debt. Hi, I'm Tony Manganiello, publisher of the Debt-Free and Prosperous Living System. And I'll send you my powerful free tape revealing how easy it is if you call today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt. And today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
When you owe people money, they own you. My system takes all the money you're paying to make the credit card companies rich and redirects it into making you rich.
In 8 months, my credit cards were paid off.
You can do the same guaranteed, no matter how much money you make or how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. Call now for your free tape. 1-800-900-1484. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-1484. 1-800-900-1484.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're going to go back to the phones before the top of the hour. We'll go to Mick in Denver. Mick.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
David, I wanted to come in to, just to chime in on the on what you've been talking about, the medical marijuana controversy or the issues around it right now. I did want to mention one quick thing. When I got on the websites yesterday and voted for you and Jay, I also did write in Mr. Turk. I've had a long-standing relationship with him, so I'm unbiased. He is, in terms of what I put down, programming producer slash 760 AM radio.
That's programming producer, that's pretty good.
You know, so I just put that in there, and ironically, you guys are talking about it. I didn't mention it to him before I got on the air, but I did vote for him. As I was on that, you know, train of thought with the media, you, Jay, and all that. He is one of the best people you'll never see, but he's the guy behind the curtain that does a phenomenal, phenomenal job getting good people on and keeping this show rolling, which in these days and, you know, in these times we live in, we need. I wanted to just mention to you one funny thing. I was watching a movie called Key Largo. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Humphrey Bogart. It's an old movie.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, in that movie, one of the things that Edward G. Robinson, who plays a heavy organized crime guy from Chicago, says, you know, when Prohibition comes back, it's going to be great for us. It's just going to be great because this is right after the time, you know, the repeal of Prohibition. And why did he say that? Because organized crime was at its height when prohibition was the law of the land. And we don't look at all of the subsystems sometimes that around the war on drugs, but you have the legal, both lawyers and the judicial, and the law enforcement entity that that we have in this country and throughout the world, for that matter.
That's a really good point. I didn't think of it that way, but that's the same part. That's the same thing I was bringing up with cartels, is that if you have a demand being fired into a black market, that creates crime syndicates.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, you know, and they work hand in hand without really being, you know, connected. They're on either side of the fence, but the fence is transparent. They see what they're doing. The billions and billions of dollars that we've already spent. New York State is reviewing the Rockefeller laws right now to start to tweak down in terms of the sentencing for the possession and distribution of drugs, in particular marijuana, which people are saying, you know.
That's right. I mean, what's good, New York has some of the worst laws in the country on this issue, and if we can reform them there, we can reform them anywhere. Mick, thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Back after the news.
I feel like it's important to stay updated on news.
Because it impacts your everyday life.
How else can you be responsible? Times
like these. What's going to affect me and what's going on in the world?
Get information on the fly.
I think 760 is a good choice. Somehow
it's real good to be able to be a part of it.
At NBC, we had a big meeting.
Wow, this meeting's big.
In that meeting, we had a great idea.
We should have all new shows tonight.
Many people cheered, especially with the return of an all-new Office. But first, the night starts with all-new episodes of Earl and Kath and Kim, followed by an all-new Office and 30 Rock.
Isn't that a great idea?
And wrapping the night, it's an all-new ER.
Isn't that a great idea?
You already said that. It's an all-new night of television tonight on NBC.
Then watch 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10, it was strictly high stakes and definitely illegal. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars crossed the table. It was the kind of game where some lost everything. Their homes, their marriages, even their lives. The guy who ran it loved to throw his mob connections around. And the guys who sat around the table, high profile. Doctors, lawyers, ex-pro jocks, even media personalities. Deborah Sherman investigates. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. February was a little brighter than the month before, but retailers are still struggling as the recession bites deeper across the country.
Shoppers are really hurting. And where they're not saving, they're spending on consumables and just essentials.
Retail analyst Bert Flickinger says high-end stores were hit especially hard, while declines at some other outlets weren't as steep as expected. The Labor Department says the number of first-time applicants for jobless benefits fell last month. That was a surprise, as well as the decline in the number of unemployed Americans who continue to receive federal aid. Virtually every sector has been hit, says economist Narman Baravesh.
It's quite clear that the employment losses are pretty much broad-based throughout the economy. So far, the only sectors that seem to be doing okay are healthcare and education.
And the government says productivity has shown a worse-than-expected fourth-quarter decline in the deepening recession. Wage pressure shot up at the fastest clip in 2 years.
We're maybe down to our last option.
A General Motors worker reacting to an ominous forecast for his troubled company. Reporter Jeff Gilbert has that story from Detroit.
GM's annual report quoting independent auditors who say the company can't continue without restructuring and can't restructure without federal loans. IHS Global Insight analyst John Wolkunowitz says if car sales don't pick up, even those loans won't help.
It's a very serious situation, and it is made more serious by the uncertainty surrounding the economy.
GM lost nearly $31 billion last year alone. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The California Supreme Court today takes up Proposition 8, the ballot measure that outlawed same-sex marriage following the court's legalization of gay unions. CBS's Steve Futterman is covering in San Francisco.
The oral arguments are set to begin in 1 hour here at the state Supreme Court. People lined up outside early this morning hoping to get a seat inside the courtroom. Many supporters of same-sex marriage are planning to watch the proceedings in a plaza directly adjacent to the courthouse. A video screen has been put up there. The justices are only expected to hear arguments today. A decision should come in the next 90 days.
The Cook County Sheriff's Office has a major bone to pick with Craigslist. The department is taking the popular website to court, charging it is the largest source of prostitution in the United States. So far, there has been no comment from Craigslist, which has been under growing pressure in recent months over what are labeled erotic services ads. Former First Lady Barbara Bush is recovering in a Houston hospital from aortic valve replacement surgery yesterday. Mrs. Bush is 83. UCLA's Dr. Richard Shaman says it is not uncommon for patients her age to have the operation.
We operate routinely on patients that are usually in their 70s, 80s, and even up into their 90s quite safely with this condition.
Now, checking Wall Street at this hour, no rally today as stocks turned lower. The Dow is down 154 points, the NASDAQ 29. This is CBS News.
Hi. I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. And it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado could see an employment increase in technology-related jobs this year. A survey by Robert Half International says nationwide tech jobs will increase by 2% and more in our region.
We're looking at 10% of executives anticipating hiring in the IT world.
Ellis Blevins says in addition to the increase, 83% of the companies in the survey plan to maintain current IT staffing levels. With a known student population coming in after job losses or arriving from low-income homes, Metro State College has opened a food bank.
10 to 15 students per week who utilize their services now. We range anywhere from 20 to 30 a day.
Assistant Joanna Mays, says students take things like granola bars and cup of noodles to keep the hunger pangs away during classes.
It's out of the way, so students can maintain some integrity in this process.
Mays expects the campus food bank to endure, much like the one at nearby Community College of Denver, in place for more than 10 years. If you have to go to prison, it sounds like a good one. Former Quest CEO Joe Nocio begins serving a 6-year term later this month at a Pennsylvania prison, complete with a game room and outdoor sports. Nocio was convicted of insider trading. His attorneys say they're likely to make one more appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And more red flag warnings today as forecasts call for high winds along the foothills. Firefighters are on alert as wildfires have dry brush to feed on and a ready-made fan from those high winds. Sports, the Broncos add a running back to the roster. He's former New England Patriot Lamont Jordan. And the Avalanche lose to the Detroit Red Wings 3-2. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where there are a few slow stretches left over, they're pretty late to recover, like westbound 36 right around McCaslin. Still kind of heavy as you're trying to get to Boulder. Eastbounders on 6th Avenue could be tapping your brakes after Sheridan. There was a crash that occurred just right around Federal. There's a wreck downtown at Spear. Off to the side could cause some delays downtown. Other than that, it's a pretty decent trip around the metro. We're seeing those strong winds gusting along I-70 Aurora all the way to the Kansas state line, as well as along I-20. Starting in Castle Rock all the way down to Trinidad. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
at the freeway. We do deals your way every day. After rebates, get a brand new Escape or F-150 for just $15.9. That's a brand new Escape or F-150 for only $15.9. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
Do I think things will get better? Yes.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
We're very happy for that.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
We are an awesome people.
AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
Over here on the left.
AM760.net.
Good day.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
907, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, give us a ring. In this final hour on this beautiful day, hopefully you'll have time to go outside. We're going to go to another guest, Lloyd Chapman, who is the president of the, Lloyd, I'm screwing up the name of your...
The American Small Business League.
I knew that. Sorry, I had a brain meltdown. I apologize. Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League. They are a group that advocates, obviously, for small businesses, but not in a way... You know, we're used to, in politics, hearing the term small business used by groups that represent huge multinational businesses, but this is a group that actually does represent real small businesses. And we asked Lloyd to come on to talk about the economic stimulus package, what it does and does not mean for small businesses. So, Lloyd, thanks for taking the time this morning, and give us your overall thoughts on what the stimulus does mean for small business.
All right. Well, let's look at the facts. The U.S. Census Bureau says that 99% of all American companies have less than 500 employees. And the U.S. Census Bureau says those firms create about 99% of the new jobs in America, and they employ about 60% of the population. So from what I've seen on television, watching all the economic experts, what we need to do is create jobs. Robert Reich was on CNN the other day. He said there's three words you need to realize in trying to stimulate the economy. Jobs, jobs, jobs. And President Obama said he's going to create, I think, 3 million jobs.
Right.
So here's the thing that everyone needs to understand. So far, 100% of the $2.3 trillion that this country has spent to stimulate the economy has gone to the top 1% of American companies. And again, the U.S. Census Bureau will tell you that that segment of the economy hasn't created one net new job since 1977. So there's absolutely no
way. How do you get to that number about how much of the stimulus is going to, if I hear you correctly, big business, huge business, and not to small business? How'd you get to that number?
There's no provision in the stimulus bill that specifically directs even a dollar of any of that money to small businesses.
Are there provisions that specifically directed only to big business?
Well, let's just say this. So far, most of the money has gone to financial institutions and you know, Merrill Lynch and AIG. And the spending part of the bill is for infrastructure, primarily for roads and bridges. And those are large companies. Small businesses don't build roads and bridges. And even though there's existing federal law that stipulates that 23% of all government contracts go to small businesses, there's been over a dozen federal investigations, and I've talked about this on Jay's show a number of times, to show that most all federal small business contracts go to Fortune 500 corporations. So it is true that, you know, so far 100% of the $2.3 trillion is going to 1% of U.S. companies that haven't created one net new job since 1977. So it's virtually impossible to stimulate the economy or, let's just say, create jobs if you ignore the companies where 99% of the jobs are created, and that's what Barack Obama's done.
Well, what would you have liked to see him do?
Well, I would have liked to have seen him include one sentence in the stimulus bill, and that sentence would be, the federal government and prime contractors can no longer report awards to publicly traded companies as small business awards. So since 2003, about 12 to 15 investigations have come out and found that $100 billion a year in federal contracts earmarked for small businesses were diverted by the Bush administration to Fortune 500 corporations here in America and even some of the biggest companies in Europe. So there's a company called British Aerospace. I think they're the third largest defense contractor in the world. And they get $200 million a year in United States government small business contracts. So that would have been one thing. I actually, to tell you the truth, I like the windfall profits tax for the oil and gas industry. President Obama campaigned for 2 years on that and said he was going to give every household a $1,000, you know, emergency tax rebate.
Right, right.
That would have been a big deal. I like that because, first of all, it's free to the taxpayers. I haven't met anyone that doesn't think the oil and gas industry didn't make record, you know, profits or windfall profits.
Well, we know they did.
Yeah. And that would have been a great source of funding to try to stimulate the economy. And to me, to tell you the truth, I'm disappointed in Obama because about a year ago, he came out and agreed with me and talked about how important small businesses were to the economy and released a statement on February 22nd. He said it's time to end the diversion of federal small business contracts to corporate giants. And since that date, he has refused, absolutely refused to include any language in any of the stimulus bills or any of the budget or anything he's done to stop that. In fact, yesterday he released not an executive order, but a memo to change a lot of things in government contracting. That would have been the absolute perfect vehicle to address that, and once again, he refused.
Okay, so the question then is, what's his motive? Why hasn't he been better, in your opinion? He's not a stupid guy. He knows, or at least people in his administration know, the stats that you're reading off here about how to best create jobs. Why isn't he investing in small business?
I have my theories, but I think it would be appropriate for someone in the mainstream media to simply ask him. Say, President Obama, you know, 98% of all American companies have less than 500 employees, and yet, you know, you have not directed a dime of any of the stimulus money to those companies. Why is that? Or I'd love to have some.
Well, what is your theory?
Here's my theory. The top 1% of companies that got that $2.3 trillion probably are responsible for 95% of the political contributions in this country. And when I went on, I think it was opensecret.org, I saw that I think the second largest contributor to President Obama's campaign was Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
Right
mm-hmm.
down the list was J.P. Morgan. So Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan are doing really well with the stimulus package here on the TARP money, right? They've gotten billions. So I don't want to be, a conspiracy nut here, but there seems to be some kind of a correlation if you're searching for justification.
Well, remember what Noam Chomsky says, and I'm paraphrasing. Noam Chomsky said it's not a conspiracy if it's all out in the open. And at least in this country, lots of campaign contributions, we have at least some transparency in who's giving campaign contributions and who's getting it. So it's hard to say that it's a conspiracy when a politician does something and happens to be getting lots of money from that industry.
Absolutely.
I would add that my guess is that part of this is also the fact that you've got some of the big interest groups who say they represent small business have in a lot of ways become an appendage of the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
And so there's less of a political incentive for Democrats and the Democratic Party to listen to those interest groups who sometimes don't seem necessarily don't seem necessarily honest about advocating for the constituents they purport to represent, but are really a partisan machinery for Democrats' opponents, the Republicans. So I think there's probably that at work. Final question, is there anything in the 2010 budget that that is different from the stimulus? We were talking earlier about the stimulus, but in the 2010 budget, is there any reforms that are that augur better for small business?
None. Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing in the budget. We poured over it, and we were thinking, now this is the perfect vehicle. In the budget, President Obama allocates funds for very, very specific programs. And this would have been the perfect vehicle for him to allocate some money or actually address this issue of the diversion of government small business contracts to big corporations. It's $100 billion a year. So the spending in the stimulus bill this year, I think, is $93 billion. By the way, it's important to realize that's a one-shot deal.
Right, that's a one-shot deal. Year. That's a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
Where are your constituents, the people you work with, where are they on the issue of a government-subsidized or government-regulated universal health care system?
You know, my members are all over the page on that. You know, we've got people from, you know, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, all across the board, and they're all over the place. I think in general, well, that's tough to say, to tell you the truth. I think everyone thinks that everyone should have health care. I don't think I've never talked to someone that didn't think that everyone should have, you know, access to health care. But small business owners are concerned about, you know, the expense to them and trying to provide all their employees with health care. They're scared. You know, they're worried about it. It's a lot of money.
It would seem to me, I mean, I'm not an economist, but it would seem to me that one of the sectors of the economy that would most benefit from a government-sponsored, government-regulated universal health care system that is paid for by taxes would be small business, because small business, by virtue of their smallness, have trouble negotiating better price discounts in the current system with huge private insurers. And I know that radical change like a universal healthcare system scares lots of different forces in our economy. But I think that change is coming, and I really hope that there are rational voices from the small business community that come to the table early and offer some constructive opinions, rather than what we saw last time around, back, 10, 15 years ago, where so much of the business community, big and small, just lockstep opposes. So that's my little public service announcement to you. Thanks so much for taking the time, Lloyd. I really appreciate it.
Sure, and do us a favor. You know, you're someone that can get this issue out there. And if we're, you know, our country is slipping into, I guess, a depression, and these programs, it just doesn't make sense to ignore the 99% of American companies, 26 million companies in this stimulus package. They create 99% of the jobs. So, David, help me get this message out.
Yeah,
there.
You make a really compelling point. I will do my part. Lloyd, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. That was Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League. You can find them at www.asbl.com. It's 919 here. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. We got about a little more than half hour left in this show today. We'll go to John Turk with traffic.
David, thanks. Traffic is looking pretty good for us now as we try to shape up this morning's commute. We do see some heavier flows there on southbound 25 due to a couple earlier accidents, one up around Thornton Parkway, one again near Spear Boulevard. But like I said, the rest of the drive is really shaping up for us. Eastbound 6th Avenue, maybe a little bit behind due to a late crash there around Federal. We do have high wind advisories around the state on 25 between Pueblo and New Mexico, also from Kansas along I-70 all the way to Denver. Your forecast, sunny, warm, and windy with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Some of these gusts could...
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center is working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right?
First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Well, that, but the minute you drive it off the lot, hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Auto's open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 8 in the evening, and drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. That's Rocky's Auto's at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it.
Did you hear that famous expert who said this is a great time to invest in the stock market? He was on right after that other famous expert who said it's a horrible time to invest. The truth is, anybody who says they know for sure is either deluded or dishonest, which is why you have to know how to make money, no matter which way the market goes from here. InvestTools can show you at one of our free classes coming to your area, and you're invited to join us. In about 2 hours, you'll learn more about investing than most people learn in a lifetime. How to decide for yourself which stocks to buy, when to buy them, and when to sell. How to profit in even the most fearsome bear markets. And how to gain total confidence in your investing decisions. Remember, the InvestTools classes coming to your area are free. The only thing you have to spend is a little bit of your time. So reserve your seat now. Go to tryinvesttools.com for more information. That's tryinvesttools.com. tryinvesttools.com.
.com 923, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're going to go back to the phones, and we'll go to Janie, who's been waiting in from Laramie. Janie.
Yes. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I want to stir things up a little bit on the marijuana discussion.
Go for it.
Okay. First, I want to mention that, you know, marijuana is okay for occasional use. So what I'm talking about is chronic users. And one of the problems has to do with THC itself, because it increases the cardiovascular workload, and so it's a threat to people with high blood pressure or coronary problems. And for chronic users, it's been shown to have significant short-term memory impairment that lasts for about 6 weeks after the chronic user stops using the drug. The other problem with marijuana, especially for chronic users, is the current delivery system that it has, and that's in a joint, because it's an unfiltered cigarette, and it contains about 50% more cancer-causing hydrocarbons than tobacco smoke.
That last one I'm not sure is true, but before getting into let's just refrain from getting into the details of this. Let's just stipulate that what you're saying in the general sense is that using marijuana chronically is might not be terrific for your health. Now,
right.
You're not going to get any argument from me, because frankly, using lots of things chronically, and I'm not just talking about alcohol. Using alcohol chronically is far worse for you than using marijuana chronically. Using cigarettes, is bad for you. No one is arguing that let's use the term abuse. No one's arguing that the abuse of marijuana is good for you. What I think people are arguing is that there are lots of substances out there that are legal and that in many cases we don't even think of as bad for us at all. Sugar is an example, that aren't good for us. And the strange policy of singling out marijuana as supposedly so much worse, when in fact, when you put it up in its own genre of other substances, other controlled substances, alcohol, narcotics, the singling out of marijuana is just odd. It's disproportional. It's absurd.
Yes, and if it were legal, we could change the delivery system from an unfiltered cigarette to something safe.
That's right. The attitude towards marijuana, it's kind of like, and maybe this is a terrible comparison, but I'll go for it anyway. It's kind of like our attitude towards Cuba a little bit. We think that we, you know, there's this idea that the best way to bring about democracy in Cuba is to isolate it and to have an embargo. Meanwhile, what that does is that creates all sorts of other problems that actually, in fact, strengthens the Cuban regime that we supposedly want to get rid of. It's the same thing with marijuana. We, you know, we think we're dealing with it effectively by outlawing it, when in fact outlawing it creates all sorts of other and arguably bigger problems than there would be if the substance was legal. Janie, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to, let's see, who's up next? We'll go to, in the order of when you call, we'll go to Steve. Steve, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey there.
How are you today?
I'm good.
I just happened to be tuning through the radio, and I heard your guy talking about small business.
Right.
I have a small business where that I make high-end guitar parts for vintage guitars. Some of the Fender and Gibson guitars from the 50s, some of them now are valued up near $1 million.
Wow.
And but I make very, very good replica parts for these instruments, and there are a lot of the reproduction instruments, people that play those instruments, they like the original style parts, and I'm very fastidious about making the parts exactly like the parts in the 50s were made. Anyway, I sell these parts all over the world. I mean, I recently shipped a couple of orders to Thessalonica, Greece, Malta, Finland, New Zealand, you know, Japan, Malaysia, you know, all over the world. I have looked into programs that are available with the SBA or, you know, Department of Commerce, whatever, you know, doing Google searches. There is nothing that the government does that supports industry to exports. So I add nothing to the, you know, I help the balance of trade. I do nothing to hinder the balance of trade. And yet, you know, with the trade deficit being what it is, they do nothing to try and help that out. Because
there is the export import bank, but the problem with the export import bank, of course, is what Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League was talking about, which is the export import bank gives most of its subsidies to the biggest corporations. And in fact, when I worked in Capitol Hill, the problem with the export import bank was, and still is, by the way, that its subsidies not only go to the biggest corporations, these are, you know, billions of dollars of taxpayer subsidies, but those corporations are simultaneously, in many cases, adding and increasing their foreign workforce while reducing their domestic workforce, meaning that the export-import bank subsidies are actually subsidizing the offshoring of American jobs.
Well, I haven't looked into that end of it. I just know that from that particular organization that you speak of there, really all that they will do is, for instance, if I, and I'm just a small, you know, one-person business. So basically, if I were going to do some sort of an order with some company in Australia or someplace, they would do short-term financing for my receivables. But they're just of no help at all. You know,
Yeah, well, they have been, the Export-Import Bank has been the target of a lot of complaints on both the right and left, and the major complaints from both the right and left has been the idea that corporate welfare tends to go primarily to huge corporations and not to small businesses. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We got another, 25 minutes of this show, 26 minutes. So give us a call, 303-713-7600, open phones. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Back to normal speeds on all the major highways around Denver. We had some late crashes, but those were picked up and moved off the highway pretty fast for us. Shouldn't find any delays or stalls on I-225 traveling between 25 and 70. Just about a 15 to 20 minute ride there. Also back to top speed. Coming southbound on 25 there into downtown after I-70. You do want to be careful today. We have some high wind advisories, red flag warnings until about 6 o'clock this evening. We do have high wind advisories right now on I-70 between Denver and Kansas, as well as on 25 between Pueblo and New Mexico. Some of these gusts could get up to 30 to 35, 50 miles an hour up along the foothills is what we're hearing. Your forecast, very windy and a little bit cool.
Thanks for coming into Radio Shack. How can I help you?
Oh, baby, it's tourney time. You got to help me follow the game so I can rock the round ball.
Let me guess, you're a college basketball fan.
You got it. Swish!
Well then, I know what you're looking for. Check out the touchscreen LG View from AT&T and watch all that NCAA March Madness has to offer right on your phone.
Whoa, what a true MVP.
Well, thanks. I try my best.
Watch all the action live with the LG View. Available at Radio Shack.
Did you know that the new Climate Smart program allows Boulder County residents to install solar power with no out-of-pocket cost? Learn how you can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program at an exclusive Boulder County Community Solar event at the Louisville Rec Center on March 18th at 7 p.m. Meet the founder and owner of Independent Power Systems, Tony Boniface, as he shares his 15 years of solar experience and answers questions about solar energy and how you can eliminate your electric bill for life. Tony will present the details of the Climate Smart program and the IPS community discount on Wednesday, March 18th at the Louisville Rec Center at 7 p.m. IPS, the Coors Field solar experts, invite you to meet Tony Boniface and learn how to eliminate your electric bill for life. For more, go to solarips.com/climate and RSVP for this free seminar. The Climate Smart Loan Program for Boulder County residents. Brought to you by Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Won't help you out, then you need to see Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. These guys are pit bulls, and they will fight corporations and insurance companies down to the last mile. Give them a call. They're Progressive trial lawyers, and they do a great job. 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com. That's 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured, and better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to GMACBank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo with a free language lesson, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
Credit card debt. It causes stress in your life, arguments with your loved ones,
and collection agents calling you nonstop.
If you feel like you're drowning in credit card debt with no way out, listen closely. No matter how high your credit card debt is, at Jordan McKenna, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and
stop those collection calls.
We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars of your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan. Jordan McKenna now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free, no-obligation consultation, call now. 800-501-7781. That's 800-501-7781. Don't miss out. Call 800-501-7781.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. It's 936. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Jeff in Boulder. Jeff.
Hi, David. You're doing a great job today.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the Employee Free Choice Act. Thought I could debunk some of the arguments they've got against it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, one of the things that they claim is that with the card check and not having a secret ballot, they claim that unions would be able to intimidate or harass employees into signing a card. And I just want to say why that's not true at all. Any time that you're doing an organizing campaign, the National Labor Relations Board oversees that very closely.
Yep.
And if a union is ever accused of harassment or intimidation of the workers, that is the end of that campaign, and all of that union's investment goes up in smoke. So unions are very careful. As an organizer, I can tell you that we avoid even the impression of any kind of intimidation or harassment on an employee. If somebody tells us that they're not interested in the organizing campaign, we cross them off our list and never talk to them again.
And that has been totally removed from the debate over this issue. No one is proposing to get rid of or weaken the National Labor Relations Board. In fact, the people who are pushing EFCA, the Employee Free Choice Act, are the same people who want to significantly strengthen the National Labor Relations Board for better enforcement. The companies that are opposed to the Employee Free Choice Act want the double negative. They want both a weak National Labor Relations Board so that it doesn't enforce the existing labor laws on the books, and they don't want the Employee Free Choice Act because they don't want it to be any easier for workers to join a union. They want the worst of both worlds. It's the best of both worlds for them because they want to pay workers as little as possible to reduce their bottom line and increase their profits to shareholders. And I want to be really clear. The other part of this argument that's been missed is what shadows the whole employee free choice debate is this concept that more unionized workers would be bad for the economy. And everybody needs to keep their eye on the fact that conservatives, when they argue against the Employee Free Choice Act, never have an answer when somebody says, well, wait a minute, if having more unions is bad for the economy, how come the economy was growing at the fastest clip, at the most sustained rate in American history, at the apex of union membership in this country in the 1960s and 1970s? And there's no answer for that. The conservatives have no answer for that. They have perpetrated a fallacy on the country that says unions are bad for the economy, a fallacy that is, and as I always say, on this show we deal in facts, not theory. And that fallacy about unions is totally undermined by basic, verifiable, unrefutable facts. Jeff, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Let's go to Michelle. Michelle in Denver.
Hi, David.
Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, listen, I wanted to say that free market health care makes as much sense as free market police and fire protection. You know, we have the multi-payer insurance bureaucracy we have something like over 1,300 different insurances with 17,000 different plans. It's really unsustainable, and we've had premium increases of over 100% since 2000 alone. They siphon 31% off the top of our health care dollars for a profit and administrative costs.
Well, and this is the, I mentioned this and I'll mention it again because it's so hypocritical. The Republicans who are opposed to universal health care are saying that they're specifically opposed to any kind of government-run part of a universal health care program, a public plan, as it's called. And what's fascinating about this is that they, I'm going to read from the story from the Politico. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell suggested there were areas in which Republicans will not compromise, particularly the creation of a new public insurance program that would compete with private insurers. Quote, forcing free market plans to compete with these government-run programs would create an unlevel playing field and doom true competition. Now, what I don't understand is how can, on the one hand, conservatives be arguing that the free market health care is so much better and everybody loves it so much and it's so much more efficient and better than government-run plans.
And I would say that the multi-payer insurance bureaucracy is much worse. You know, the overhead for the private plans is much higher than, say, Medicare, which is
3%. Of course it is. But you're ruining my punchline.
Okay. I'm sorry.
My punchline was going to be that how can they argue that the free market health insurance system is so much better than the supposedly awful, evil government-run program?
And then
simultaneously argue that this supposedly awful government-run program, whatever is created, would outcompete the supposedly wonderful free market program. If the free market program was so great as they tell us it is, then it should be able to destroy a government-run program, a government-run single-payer program in a competition, wouldn't it? What they're saying is that they know that if Americans are given the choice between a government-guaranteed, government-sponsored, dare I say, government-run healthcare program and an HMO where you can lose your coverage, you can get thrown out on the street, that most Americans will ultimately choose the public plan. That's what the Republicans are saying, but they're so bought off by the private health insurance industry that they're effectively willing to undermine their entire macro argument, right? Their macro argument is the free market is always better than the government, but they're also saying that the government would outcompete the free market in healthcare. They're doing that. They're undermining their entire macroeconomic argument precisely because they are so bought off by the private health insurance industry.
It's all about for-profit health care. It's about profit-centered health care. And, you know, we've had University Hospital just was the eighth facility to close their psych unit in the Colorado area. And there have been 100 emergency rooms that have closed over the last year. That's a symptom of profit-centered healthcare and the degraded primary care system that we have. Because the motivation is to open specialty hospitals that do high-cost procedures and to eliminate ERs that are high-cost centers.
That's right.
So, you know, that's what it's all about. But we do have a bill, HB 1273, in Colorado that would set up the structure for healthcare, comprehensive healthcare reform and guaranteed healthcare for all. And I urge people to go to healthcareforallcolorado.org and look at it and look at the information about it.
Say it again. Say the bill number again.
HB 1273.
Great. Thank you for telling everybody about it. We appreciate the call.
Sure.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm doing my best to squeeze in as many calls as possible, but before the end of the hour, I want to remind everybody, go to www.5280.com, 5280 Magazine, www.5280.com/TOT, like Top of the Town. Vote in the Top of the Town contest. If you like my column in the newspaper, I hope you do. Please vote for me for the Best Columnist Award. I won it last year. I was the Reader's Choice, thanks to all of you. I really appreciate it. It was very helpful. And it's helpful. I got the column. The column is now running in a bunch of newspapers all across the state. If you like Jay, vote for him for the best radio host and create a Create a category for John Turk as best radio producer. We'll do one more call before we got to hit another break. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry in Denver.
Hi, David.
Hey there.
Hey, I'm calling about, as you know, the Democrats, I think, have focused on Rush Limbaugh and what Rush Limbaugh has been saying. And when he says that he wishes that President Obama's economic policies will fail, I would suggest that it's an example of putting his ideology ahead of what's good for the benefit of the country. It would be one thing for him to say, well, I don't think that it's going to be successful, and I think that I would suggest such and such as an alternative. But to actually wish that the economic policy fails so that his ideology can win out, I think that is, it's almost like a verbal treason to wish that America and America's citizens do poorly.
Rush Limbaugh is the way I understand it, is that Rush Limbaugh is one of the very few Americans, really a very handful of Americans, whose own career will be better if the economy does worse. If the economy does worse, if Obama's plans fail, that's good for Rush Limbaugh's career. Now, for most of us, the vast majority of Americans, if the economy continues to sink, it's bad for us. But for Rush Limbaugh and congressional Republicans, for their career, they're in a very select group of people whose careers will be better served if the economy does worse and Barack Obama's policies fail. So in that sense, we can understand that their position is rational for them. It's rational for them. They're hoping the country goes down the tubes because it's good for them. There's a rationale there. And in some ways, I appreciate them being this honest with us. Now, I find it disgusting. I find it heartless. I find it overly selfish. But, hey, at least they're being honest. 948, I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Try to squeeze in as many of your calls before the top of the hour. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
David, these high winds are really going to be a factor for the drive around town today. I already have high wind advisories along the major portion of I-70 between Denver and Kansas, also on 25. Starting at New Mexico, Raton Pass, all the way up to Pueblo. Around town, you will see those high winds, 35 to 50 mile-an-hour gusts, rather up along the foothills and south of I-70. So do use two hands today. That trip across C-470 could be pretty treacherous for you. Your forecast, sunny, warm, and windy with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Right now, 61 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Pinnacle at City Park South, Denver's most successful luxury condominium, is now closing out Tower 1. Two-bedroom special...
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years' experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at AAAHomeImprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface. Just a tip, bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
41. Remember.
Understand.
Honor.
And give from the heart.
PearlHarborMemorial.com. Thank you.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
Turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch!
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted. They help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants and other nutrients that help protect the health of your heart, eyes, and bones.
Things have sure changed around here.
Age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Take along with a healthy diet and exercise. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Who wears Thermacare? People like Ginny Graham.
I love playing with the grandkids, but everyday pain can slow me down. Try the targeted relief of Thermacare Joint and Arthritis for hands, knees, and elbows. I can feel it working. Thermacare has patented heat cells that deliver real heat that penetrates deep to soothe sore joints. Aches, pains, gone. Helps keep me going all day. Look for Thermacare in the gold box and wear it where it hurts. Use as directed.
Eight more minutes. No, seven more minutes. In this Thursday edition of the Jay Marvin Show, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay, who's out sick. I'll be in until through Tuesday. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jack in Denver. Jack.
Howdy.
Hey there.
I just wanted to comment on the Rush Limbaugh rant that you guys are going on. He wasn't ranting that he wants the country to fail or Obama to fail. He wants Obama's socialist and Marxist policies to fail. There's a big difference.
Well, I don't see a difference in this sense. I don't see a difference. It's, and we went through this yesterday. It's one thing to say that you think the policies are going to fail. It's one thing to say that you'd like them to fail to pass Congress. That's how I felt with George Bush's tax cuts for his rich friends. I wanted them to not pass. I wanted his push to pass them to fail because I thought as economic prescriptions, they would fail. When they passed, I nonetheless hoped that they succeeded in doing what President Bush promised they would do, which was help the economy. So what Rush Limbaugh is saying something different. Rush Limbaugh is saying explicitly, not that he hopes that, I mean, he is saying he hopes that they don't pass, that's for sure. But he's making a more general statement that he hopes that they fail even if they pass. And that is bizarre, and I'll tell you why that's bizarre. Because whatever policy passes, no matter who you are, what your political stripe is, whatever policy ultimately ends up passing, if you're a patriotic American, you hope it succeeds in doing what the policy says it's going to do. Because every policy that passes Congress says it's going to help the country. To say that you hope that they fail is to say that you hope that they don't fix the problems that they're purporting to address.
Into a socialist society, I personally like the capitalist system, and to have a neo-Marxist Euro-socialist society is not something that I think is good for this country.
But again, that's different. You're saying you think they'll fail. I hope you're not saying that if they passed, you still hope that they would fail and that the economy would go under. I really hope you're not saying that.
But they're going to cause the country.
I'm making that's the point here. That's a different argument. That's not the argument Rush Limbaugh is making. The argument Rush Limbaugh is making that he says that he's hoping that they fail even if they pass, that they fail to address the problems that they say they're going to address. I'm sorry, that's unpatriotic. That is a fringe extremist anti-American position to say that you hope that the economy continues to collapse, that you hope the healthcare system continues to not be addressed. That's what he's saying, and that is really unacceptable. Now, you and I can get into a debate about whether you think that the policies Obama are pushing are socialist or neo-Marxist or whatever the heck you want to call them or not, and whether they'll succeed or not. Frankly, I think that, you know, The election just happened. Obama was called a socialist, and he cleaned John McCain's clock. We've lived through a right-wing conservative era where all of the policies that you've wanted have passed and have destroyed the economy. You've deregulated the economy. You've gotten everything you've wanted, and you've brought us to this point, you, the conservative movement. So, you know, frankly, my take is step aside. You really don't have much of a credible position anymore.
For him, you know, there's a large chunk of this country that didn't vote for the man.
But there's a larger chunk that did, and I'm sorry. This is a democracy. We have elections, and elections have consequences. Barack Obama's election was not a mandate to represent John McCain or Rush Limbaugh's policies. Barack Obama's election was a mandate to represent the promises that Barack Obama made. Now, you may not like that. But if you don't like it, then I'd respectfully say, find another country. We had an election. This is a democracy. If you don't like that, then maybe this place isn't for you. Let's try to squeeze in one last call here. Let's go to Pete and Greeley. Pete, you got 30 seconds.
All right, David. Hey, I just wanted to sort of agree with you. Public or private, it doesn't matter. The large corporate private sector, huge chunks of it, hates competition. We need antitrust enforcement.
That's absolutely true. I made this point in a blog post a couple days ago that anything that's too big to fail, any institution in society that's too big to fail, should not be under total and complete private control. Because if it's a threat to all of us, if it's a threat to the entire public, there needs to be some public control. And the other part of this is that we need to have antitrust laws on the books and and enforced that prevent institutions from becoming too big to fail. We put our society at risk when we have a financial sector and when we have individual insurance companies like AIG who, if they fail in their unregulated risk, threaten the entire country at large. Pete, thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. I'll be here tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday. Give us a call then. For now, I'm going to go try to have a nice time outside. And then
Three cheers for four-legged creatures. And for the moms who clean up the muddy footprints and cat food stuck on the floor. Because even though your kids said they would, you knew they wouldn't. So when they asked for a pet, you still said, bring it. You're why we made New Bounty, with 25% thicker quilts and more durability than before. New Bounty. To see if you can clean the mess with less, go to quickerpickerupper.com.
Lawyers, ex-pro jocks, even media personalities. Deborah Sherman investigates. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10.
You can live truly debt-free on just the money you already make, using my proven system. Let me send you a free tape today that shows you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, no matter how much debt you have.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.